And welcome to In-Game Chat for Friday, October 16th, 2009, the official podcast of CallingYouGamers.com. Check us out there at our forums. You can also get in touch with us at everyone at InGameChat.net, or you can get us on Twitter at InGameChat. Also, you can call us 201-7-IN-GAME. We always appreciate your voicemails, your tweets, and your emails, so thank you for those. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
Hi, I'm Jeremy.
And I'm RJ.
And we got welcome. No Dennis, sorry.
Yeah, no Dennis for 2 weeks now, but he'll be back next episode, we hope so. What did we talk about?
Let's see. We talked a little bit about Uncharted 2.
We did.
Guys were very kind about staying away from spoiler territory for me. Since
we
I
did
just
our best.
Yeah,
it.
For some of you, this might be a very confusing discussion.
That's okay. I think it's safe to assume a lot of people, you know, besides me will appreciate that. So next week, though, probably a lot more Uncharted 2.
No doubt. And hopefully some more Brutal Legend as well.
Yeah.
Next week, interviews about Uncharted 2.
That's right.
Yeah, that's Scott's going to lick the mic.
Muramasa.
Demon Blade.
Yeah.
A little more
you got
talk
some
about
time
Dead
that.
Space.
Yep.
Extraction.
And Epic Mickey.
Yeah. Boy, that's weird.
Hit the news and tweets and emails and all that good stuff. And James gets, you know, called out on some shit he said. RJ gets called out on some shit he didn't say. And
Jeremy gets a baby.
Yeah. And Scott's the asshole this episode, so.
He really is.
Lots of fun.
Enjoy the show.
Well, we're playing a game of Munchkin and one, then another one. We're playing another game. She's teaching her sister how to play.
Oh, Peggy was teaching her sister?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think I've ever, ever in the history of forever played a game of Munchkin where somebody in the group wasn't learning how to play.
Yeah.
I've never had the luxury of, like, I don't do it often enough, that sort of, like, card games or table games or anything like that, to have a regular group of people or at least a mix of people who are used to it.
Right.
It's always like, okay, so this is this person's first time playing, so this is how this works and this is how this works. So there's always some sort of unpredictable circumstance that can only arise when a person does something that they didn't know they couldn't do, but can only be done when you don't know you can't do it. If you're aware of your limitations, you'll never do this thing because you can't do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, I don't know, the rules are not, the rules are like only somewhat exclusionary. It's like, and you have to go back and look and figure out whether what was done was wrong or not.
Right.
But usually it's too late by that point, and what's done is done, which...
We should arrange one, because we've got like, a lot of people now that know how to play, so...
Yeah. Well, that's the other problem. I haven't played in so long that I'd be like...
You'd be the new guy?
How do we do this again? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if I told you, but for anniversary, Becky got me Munchkin and all 7 expansions.
Yes. Well, I told you that worked really well, because it's technically paper.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
We were going over that, and it was like 1 year anniversary is supposedly paper, so
yeah,
you know, rather than giving you some pointless, wretched little parchment with calligraphy on it. Sorry if anybody
out got
there
that.
Ever has done that or received that, whatever. I mean, it's the sort of thing my mom would do, so that's fine. But you got Munchkin on cardstock.
Yeah,
that fits the bill. So, I don't know. What did we say year two was? Something crazy. Tiberium
was it
or something?
Or something?
Oh, yeah.
Let's change it to Tiberium.
Dilithium crystals.
Hey, there needs to be like a geek version.
A geek version. I think, yeah, we may have just started that.
Great.
Adamantium.
Yeah, adamantium. Dilithium crystals. Mithril. Energon.
That's awesome.
All right, let's just do it now. Let's just go ahead and get it out of the way. What would the 50th be for?
Ah, oh, Jesus. What would the 50th be?
50 and 75. What would the 50th be?
What is the 50th normally?
I thought we went over that. Wasn't it like...
I don't remember.
We talked about whatever.
Fuck, which one's gold?
Maybe
I
that's.
Think that is it.
I think the 50th.
Yeah, see, that's what I thought, but I want to say we looked it up and it wasn't right.
Is what, silver?
No, seven,
silver can't come after gold.
25. Silver would be the 25th, I think, would be.
Well, that's like, yeah, that's. I think
diamond
there are other traditions
yeah,
for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think diamond on
the 75th. Yeah.
Shit, what the fuck are we... You know what? We got the internet.
It's not... You're not gonna find what you want to find.
Really?
Yeah. Because I tried already. Oh, you're gonna find something else. You don't want to go where you're gonna go right now. It's just not gonna lead you to somewhere as fun as you think it is.
Now I want to go.
Yeah, the more fun just doing what we're doing right now. I don't know. You give me a while to think about it. I'll come up with the right thing. I promise.
Right here. 50th is gold. 60th is diamond.
That doesn't make any sense. Nobody's been married for 60 years. Not anymore, anyway. Most people are dead. What I'm saying is I don't think that particular anniversary format follows the generic anniversary format, you know, for like that an organization might represent or that any particular occurrence might say that, you know, this is our silver anniversary special, you know, like Bob Hope, whatever. Like, I think that the wedding thing follows a different, or I want to say it follows a different thing, because like there's supposedly a traditional element or item or material for each year. And yeah, I think two was, you know, in the boring world, I think two was supposedly cotton or something.
In the boring world, it is cotton.
And there's some fun stuff in there. Like, you go through all of the medals and everything.
State of the sixth, you'll get candy.
Is it candy? I don't remember it being candy.
It's candy / iron.
Iron. See, I told you iron, because iron's more fun than candy.
It's like this little graph here shows the traditional and the modern.
Yeah.
So your first was paper in the traditional sense, but in the modern, you get a clock.
But they just pick the gift now? They take all the thought out of it?
Yeah, that's not
actually
fun.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because your fourth would be fruit or flowers, but in modern tradition, an appliance.
What?
No, that's no fun. I don't like that. But I do think that it would be fun to come up with an analog, the geek analog.
Yes.
So, I don't know. But it's all going good.
Yep.
Been there for a year.
Yeah.
Got a kid to show for it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you've done everything you need to do now.
Well.
You've gone forth and multiplied. Twice. You've already done that. I don't want to act like you haven't already done that. But there you go. You've christened your home. And there you go.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
You made a sequel.
Yeah. What did we decide? How long till you have a co-op buddy?
Man, I don't know.
Till this guy's like able to play stuff. You need to like get. You need to get on it, because I've known other guys who are like Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Like he had his son, and like I was always like, you teach that little motherfucker how to play stuff, you know. And he was like, no, blah 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 blah, you know. Father, important rules and things. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you, man? You know, and then like over time, he was like, well, you know, he wanted to grab the keyboard, but you know, what was on the screen was blah, 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 blah. And I was like, shut up. Just give up, man. Just let the kid start playing with you, mm-hmm. you know? So I don't know how long it takes, but I think his kid was like 5 or 6, man. Yeah. He was all over. Like trying to help him play some stuff, you know. And at that point, it was merely we got to find the right context to do this, you know. Not sure that Nazi killing or you know, even space alien killing is necessarily the right context. But I don't know. That's not my job. That's your job. You could do worse than, I suppose, teach kid to.
He's got to be prepared, you know, for the
zombie
uprising.
Yeah, see, that's, there you go. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
I want his survival index in the zombie apocalypse to be very high.
Yeah, me too.
He's got to know what to reach for when he finds himself locked in a hardware store, like which particular tools work best. So, yeah, I'm thinking by Left 4 Dead 4. Maybe, you know?
Are you at the rate they're cranking those out?
We'll see.
He's only going to be 3.
Whatever. Start him young, man. Can they talk at 3? When do they talk?
They start talking pretty quick, but like not... Nothing that would help you over a microphone and headset.
I was going to say, it wouldn't be any help on headset.
No.
Well, that sucks. I don't know. Whatever. You can get on it. You can start teaching him stuff. Hand him a Wiimote.
Well, at least it'd be getting some use if it got chewed on.
Yeah, right. I told you, though. I told you, like...
You said I need to play some Extraction,
I recommend Extraction. You still have not played Dead Space, which... Really, like...
I mean, I know.
I offer you that simply saying, here is a pre-vetted experience. I assure you, you will enjoy yourself. I just want you to be able to do that, but, you know, fat chance.
Maybe in December.
Yeah, maybe. Got to be before January, though. January's a busy piece of shit, because we got the release date of Mass Effect.
Oh, too. Is that January?
It's now the 16th.
Ooh, okay.
I thought it was earlier in the U.S., later in Europe. I don't know. I can remember. I saw it briefly today. It's like mid-January.
Okay.
With like three other things. So December is the real loser this year. I mean, I think Saboteur, is that what we're really looking at in December?
Yeah, that's it. That's
I mean, which I looks really mind. Great.
Yeah,
but,
it does.
But there's no...
That's not going to keep me over occupied the whole month.
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
I don't either.
You need some tech support over there, Scott?
He doesn't need some tech. Too fucking bad. We've been doing it all day. You get nothing.
Well, I'm clicking on mouselook.com, but I get a Google error.
Oh, well, that's because you... Whatever. I'm fine.
Yeah, he's fine. I don't know what your problem is.
Tech support guy's not having any trouble.
Instead of clicking it,
how
about you try typing it in? This is Scott typing.
Yep.
Riveting.
But yeah, I have to recommend Extraction. Last time we talked, whatever. Forget about it. Like I said what I had to say about, you know, plain old vanilla by your lonesome Extraction.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. Like I wasn't there. Now, okay. First things fucking last. Yeah. Thanks for I appreciate that Dark Lord James pointed out that two of the things that I found most annoying are mm-hmm. actually either manageable or something. The camera shake, mm-hmm. the shaky cam type stuff.
Yeah, he said there was like a setting for that.
Yeah,
shit,
and
right?
the default is like somewhere in the
Man,
middle.
I need that option on Michael Bay Blu-ray or something.
Yeah.
You know, turn down the shaky cam.
That would be nice. I don't like it. I don't think it does anything for
I
the
don't
game.
Think it would help me sit through Transformers any better, yeah. but...
It might. I don't know. But evidently the slider
I'd
exists
like
in this game, and I somehow didn't see it.
There's a lot of things I'd like a slider for.
Yeah.
Shaky cam is definitely one of them. It's near the top of the list, I'd say.
But somehow there's an active reload, and like... I mean, I don't have a lot of patience for tutorial segments in games mm-hmm. sometimes, but I swear to God, there was no indication of any kind of active reload. I never saw it. And Scott, when I played with you, we went all the way through all the tutorial-type business, and I never saw anything referencing an active reload type of thing. Maybe I just didn't understand what I was seeing. Maybe I was pissed off at the slow pace of what amounts to the introduction to the game and the tutorial,
mm-hmm.
but I never saw anything that worked that allowed for the possibility of an instant reload, because the reload is kind of like it is about as brisk as a Gears of War reload if you don't use the active reload option. Not as slow as if you fuck up your reload, but just like, you know, the 5-6 seconds it takes to reload.
Okay.
It's really annoying. Made the combat really super tedious for me. I didn't like it. I didn't like getting whacked on while I was actually trying to solve a puzzle,
mm-hmm.
you know, or hack a console or something like that. I didn't like that. But so I took over Scott's house, and like he got his Uncharted early, you know. So I went over there to take a look at that, and then before he got too far, like made him quit that so I didn't see too much. And played some Extraction, and as I predicted, or really was more hoping, a lot of what I didn't like about how it worked was really not an issue at all playing it in co-op.
Okay.
With the exception of the fact that the stupid reticles are too big. The aiming reticle is just a little too... It's very difficult to actually see where the bad guys are.
Yeah.
Because even by yourself, when they're sort of at a distance, you know, maybe 20 paces away,
mm-hmm.
the reticle can cover their entire body.
Oh.
And it's sort of a bright and vivid color. Mm-hmm. And they have that very typical, you know, muted browns and reds and stuff like that.
Yeah, real dark.
The coloration, which matches a similar coloration in the black in the background. So
and they give you a bright blue and a bright orange reticle.
Yeah. So it can be.
I can see where that would be a problem already.
So like we would routinely dip our reticles down to the bottom of the screen, and then like something would pop up, and we would just sort of like inundate that sector of the screen uh-huh. with bullets and then kind of drop our reticles again to see if it was still there because we couldn't really tell when we'd killed it unless it gets up in our face.
Mm-hmm.
But because there are two people there and the way that the game was kind of duping ammo, mm-hmm. if I understand what was happening correctly, like another problem was it could be difficult to find things in the environment, health, ammo, other weaponry, things like that. And get it, like, by yourself. So Scott and I were just, like, routinely doing the stupid little grabby ball thing and got most everything. And I thought there would be competition between the two players, but it doesn't treat you like two separate players. It basically okay. treats you... It's almost as if you're a freaking conjoined twin or something and you have like independent thought and control of your two guns.
Yeah.
Because if I picked up health, like our health was, for obvious reasons, linked together. So like we would die if something bad happened. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
It's not really co-op as in
two entities playing together.
Right, it's not co-op like Res 5 co-op was, where it's like, you know, or any of these other games that sometimes say we can't do co-op because it's only one person,
mm-hmm.
you know? Where it's
but it's also not like a light gun game where each individual has...
Their own health and ammo.
Yeah.
It was like...
Shared health and ammo.
Yeah, and it's... But what was interesting...
the ammo was split, actually.
And very... Well, not exactly it wasn't. If I grabbed a box of ammo, all right, because remember, we were using our basic gun.
If you were full and you grabbed a box of ammo, would it give it to me?
No, this is what happened. Like, if I grabbed ammo or if I grabbed a gun, we both got it.
We both got the gun.
But if I shot the ammo out of my gun, you still had yours.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because remember, we started by trying to really conserve ammo because I was worried that... Like, I was worried about the way it worked in single player. Mm-hmm. I was like, I always feel like I'm kind of on the edge with my ammo. And I was like, but with two of us, we can use the slow firing, whatever it was, the rivet gun.
Mm-hmm.
And have enough coverage that we didn't have to use our more ammo-hungry
weapons.
And so I would, like, you know, we were picking stuff up. But then when we switched, we realized, we've got the same ammo count. Because if we picked up health or picked up ammo... It gave it to both of us.
Okay.
But if I pulled out my pistol and, you know, shot up all my pistol rounds, Scott still had all his pistol rounds. Very generous in that respect. So it wound up being a thing where, like, he could get the plasma cutter, and I could use the pistol
mm-hmm.
until we had each sort of drawn down our ammo capacity in each of those respective weapons. And then I could use the plasma cutter and he could use the pistol because we each still had their respective ammo for those guns. Like, it was good and it was forgiving in that regard, and I really liked it, and I just knew I took it back because I knew that with Brutal Legend and Uncharted coming out, it just wasn't any way we were going to be able to get together and do it. But
okay.
It's something I wanted to
do. It was really just plain fun enough with two people.
Even
that
before
it was actually,
we found out there's apparently active reload and
yeah,
settings that you
before
can,
that, we really, we ended the session like, okay, this is actually, it was late, which is the only reason we quit, but we're like, yeah, this is actually good couch co-op. Like, this is actually pretty fun.
How many people can couch co-op at one time?
Just two.
Okay.
but it is good. And I'm going to guess that it's probably more fun if you've beaten the game.
Dead Space.
Okay. But I believe it would probably work, at least from what I've seen so far, which is I'm on the Ishimura but haven't been there very long. Because of where you start, the start point of that game is very near to the end point of Dead Space. Mm. So that's kind of... And the scene that you see when you start is very specifically something that you see the setting, you know,
okay.
of when you end Dead Space, which I thought was really neat. I was like, that matters to me. I appreciate that you have actually constructed this place, you know, and you divert off of that path pretty quickly into unfamiliar territory. But I got a lot of respect for it, and it looked pretty decent for what it was. With another person, I think it would be really great to go through it and probably then play Dead Space. Actually, I think it would be neat if you did that.
So I could have a different perspective on it?
Yeah, so we could run through it kind of from a different angle and see how it affected your appreciation of one game over the other. All right. So, whatever. I liked it. And now to learn that, like, some of, like, my two biggest gripey points about it were... can be mitigated. Like, that's... Okay, I gotta go back. So, yes, it does mean that I have to get it. When, I don't know. But hopefully, you know... Maybe I should just pick it up again, and it's something that we can whittle away piece by piece over the weekends.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, at the moment, obviously, clearly, we've all been playing Uncharted. Yes?
Well, three of us have.
Yeah, I know. RJ's got what RJ's got over there.
Yeah, I'm busy with Demon's Souls, man.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? That's about all he has to say about it.
It might anger some of you.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's all I gotta say. This chair is fucking, and I apologize, this chair is really fucking squeaky. I don't remember it being squeaky, but for whatever reason, tonight it is. So.
Yeah, you got yours early, so you're already done.
Should we just set up Demon's Souls? Well, I guess that's all we're gonna get from you on Demon's Souls. Did you play anything else?
I played some of the downloadable content on Fallout 3. I worked on, working on a little bit of Broken Steel. Also played some Street Fighter 4. I had a bad night with that. I had a bunch of folks playing Akuma and Gouken, so it was a bunch of fireballs all night long and nothing else. So after about five or six matches, I just had to give it up and went back to Fallout 3 and Demon's Souls.
So you're in Broken Steel?
Broken Steel, yeah, right now.
Are you doing them in order?
I don't even know what the order is.
From my perspective, order looks like release order, which was Anchorage, Broken Steel. No, Anchorage. Fuck all. Anchorage Pit, Broken Steel, Point Lookout.
Mothership Zeta.
Mothership Zeta.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I have to check back with that, but I don't know if it was released in that order. To begin with.
Originally it was.
That was it.
No, that was the original release mm-hmm. order for the Xbox okay. and the PC, okay. which is why that's the order I kind of consider it to be.
All right.
So what have you played of the...
I'm at the point where...
You've played Broken Steel.
I'm playing on Broken Steel now.
Any of the other expansion stuff?
Not yet. I've just started. I've only started on Broken Steel so far.
I guess that actually kind of makes sense, because Broken Steel is the only one that's... Broken Steel fixes the ending, basically, which was sort of fucked up for everybody else with Anchorage and the Pit, before you had to kind of revert to a right before you finish the game kind of thing. For those of us that had finished the game, you have to like basically have a save right outside of the door of the last room.
Yeah, automatic.
And it's like no, real quick. I have to go to Pittsburgh, you know? Like, that's kind of how you had to handle it.
Yeah.
No, I get it. We're trying to save everybody in the Capital Wasteland and fix the water and, you know, finish off the bad guys and everything, and I have to bravely face my own demise, but, you know, I kind of feel like a virtual Anchorage visit. You know, just like, it was just absurd. It was just ridiculously absurd. So to have that, like, fix the ending and then not force you to do anything weird, mm-hmm. because you can't do, you can't really do Pit or Anchor. You become committed to that storyline very quickly. Like, you go to the pit and, like, you're in the fucking pit until you've dealt with the pit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, very, very quickly you become committed to that track. So there's no, like, I kind of want to leave this quest for a minute. It is, you are locked in, laser focused on getting that thing done before you can go back to the wasteland and deal with stuff. And Anchorage is a lot the same way in a different way.
Is Point Lookout the same way as well?
I believe so. I have, surprisingly, and I fear sometimes that I've really burned myself out on Fallout 3, I have all of the expansion material. Mm-hmm. I have played Anchorage and half of the pit. So I have purchased and downloaded and installed the other three things and fucking touched them, which I feel bad about sometimes. I feel like I need to, like, some weekend just be like, I need to go, like, do a couple of these. And I haven't. So I don't know if that changed a little bit for Point Lookout and Mothership Zeta, but from what I've kind of read, I don't think it did. I think that's still very, you're very much committed to one endeavor, because you go away to another place, you know, and your return options are kind of taken away from you. But I don't know that to be a fact. I suspect it. So, but yeah, that was the release order. So in my mind, that's the natural order. But I have to admit, Broken Steel first kind of makes a whole lot more sense. Or maybe doing the other four before you ever get to the end of the game. You know, like, kind of like playing the Mass Effect, Bring Down the Sky stuff. Yeah. Like, somewhere in the middle of your whole Mass Effect experience, mm-hmm. is much more natural than playing it when it actually came out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to just get Fallout 3 now and all of the expansion material, it would probably be far more interesting to do all of that extra stuff and then Broken Steel. I don't know.
Yeah.
So you're in Broken Steel, haven't done any of the others.
No.
You should probably, if you're going to do any of the others, you should, I don't know, maybe let me just skip Anchorage. Anchorage was a little weak. It was pretty cool because it was the first one, you know, and it was something, mm-hmm. but it was just pretty weak. It wasn't very Fallout. Yeah. It turned it into an action shooty bang thing, you know, and there was really none of the other interesting RPG elements that made Fallout so good. It was just kind of, yeah. And you got some neat stuff afterward. But.
Yeah, well, I've been playing them all anyway, because I do want to get some extra stuff to see what I can do, how I can apply it to the other parts of the game.
Yeah, you get your crazy sneakify suit from Anchorage, which is neat. Mm. That's really, like, that's the real gem out of that mission, is the stealth suit. Mm. So, but that's good.
Yeah.
I need to get back in it. Makes me feel bad. Thanks for making me feel bad, RJ.
You're welcome.
And Demon's Souls.
Yeah, that too.
That's cool. RJ's just being spiteful now.
Spiteful? How you feel?
You'll find out when we get to the...
I told him about it. I told him about it. Spiteful.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to say as little as possible on the matter.
Yeah, so... So Saturday, got back from the fair, and we'll go into that later.
Oh, will we? I hadn't even thought about that.
Pork parfait.
Yeah, I know. Pork parfait.
We'll go into that later, but... So I had the game... waiting for me at the house.
Early. Signed copy.
Very early. Signed all over the fucking place. So thank you, everybody at Naughty Dog, for sending that and autographing that. And I got the soundtrack with it, so that was really cool, too. But yeah, that ended my love affair with Inside Story. It didn't really end it. It's just like,
it did. It did. Don't try to justify yourself.
No.
I know, dude. No, don't you do the shit.
It's still a handheld, though. I can still take it.
I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. I know you.
What do you think
We've been down this road before.
What am I doing?
You are infatuated.
Oh, fuck yes.
You are, and I mean that almost literally. Like, I don't know what you haven't licked your disc, man. You are infatuated. And I know you well enough to know that at least in this moment, inside of a week of having the game, like, you're still in that place where, like, you've got the signed, awesome copy with, like, extra awesome sauce on the side, mm-hmm. you know, like, and their signatures are signed with that sauce, and, like, that's, like, a whole thing for you. I know it is. And so that is having some kind of effect, some sort of, like, nebulous, magical effect on how you feel about the game. I know it is. It's a whole package deal for you. So I know this is why you've gone to, like, stratospheric levels of love.
Okay, yeah, game. Yeah, I understand myself enough to know that as well.
I'm not even, like, harshing on you for this. It's just, this is your thing.
That's
I don't
thing.
Shut up, and then
it's
you
the
fall
reason,
in love with things. You lick the mic.
I'm not licking that. I gave it a passing thought, but there's something
whatever.
Stuck
we'll
in
see
it,
what man. Happens next week. You join us next Thursday.
I was about to say.
It's not Nolan.
No, not like Nolan would get two licks. Dave gets three.
No, it's the reason I also backed out of doing the review for COG.
Yeah.
Because I was like, yeah, I can't. No.
Because you're a hokey, shameless...
There's no way with the amount of gush that I
yeah,
you know,
God.
Do for this thing that I could ever come out with any type of objectionable...
Oh, you could come out with something objectionable.
I do it down here.
Was objective the word you were going for?
Yes. An objective, yes, that's what I meant. yes, whatever. But anyway, so yeah, that's why I backed out of that.
That's a bad idea.
So. It was a bad idea.
I mean, it's great. Yeah. I think that's good of you being where you are with the thing, because that's what you do. It's great. It's awesome. I mean no ill will towards your disposition, but at the same time, and it isn't uncommon. It's actually like there's a lot of gushing out there for the game, and I don't want to go into this quite yet, and I don't even mean to be. I don't even mean to cut across the grain here, but.
Contradictory for contradictory sake.
I'm not trying to be that, but I find it a little undeserving of this wave of praise. Like, just, I mean, it's great, and I do want to talk about it at length, and I would obviously like to start with your impressions, the overall experience, but...
Just to get that out of the way first.
No, because you've made the most progress of anyone here.
True.
You've beaten it completely, you've had more time with it. I am, I believe, about a little over halfway, judging by chapter...
What chapter are you... Well, you told me where you are.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the chapter... What chapter number
it's like 17, 18, something like that.
Wow, okay.
And I just got started.
You unfortunately just
yeah, I didn't get
got your game
get it from GameFly until
yeah. We had to like
today.
Get you out of work early. And it's
yeah,
like, just go home and play as much as you can in 90 minutes.
Wanted to get home as you know quick as I could and end up not leaving except maybe 15 minutes early. So
yeah,
it was at least enough time to get through the introductory stuff. I
what
guess.
Are your impressions so far on such a short play time?
You've just finished. You've okay. just finished the museum.
He's
like, man,
yeah,
he's within,
yeah.
like...
He's at the turning point of the museum.
No, he's... The turning point is within, like, 90 seconds of the end of the museum.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I mean, I'm enjoying it. I love it. It's great. It's, you know, what I had expected from another Uncharted. Within the context of what people had been saying about it, about the beginning of the game, I remember specifically someone saying... that this was... Remember when Uncharted came out and like how much better it was than other games in the way of voice acting and facial expression and all that. They were saying that 2 is that much better than 1. And
yeah.
It's not... That's not to say it's bad. It's not at all. It's more Uncharted, which isn't a bad thing at all. But I think particularly that thing that was said, that this is far and away better than the first one.
It doesn't ring true.
No.
I don't think that comment rings true at all.
But it's great.
Yeah,
not,
it
not
is.
Not trying to take anything away from it. I think actually to say that it's that much better than the first one takes away from the first one, which is unfair.
Yeah.
Because the first one was great, and I think the second one is just as great.
And in some respects...
So far.
Yeah, in some respects, I think this one is an enormous leap above the first one. That we all had to be very honest about the weaknesses of the first game over the past 2 years. But it got a really, really tiny bit of mind share for a long time. Because the PS3 install base was shit.
Right, right.
And nobody was really talking about it. And it was
it
a new
got
IP.
Really overlooked.
That wasn't Crash Bandicoot mm-hmm. or something. And it was like, we're the, you know, and it's Dude Raider and all the different reasons not to like it.
Yeah.
And
it's like that name.
It is kind of like the gaming press just discovered how awesome Uncharted
yeah.
is.
It's like the zeitgeist like suddenly woke up mm-hmm. and was universally infatuated with the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I, having understood those opinions, and I really can't reiterate enough that, like, I'm at a place where the game is like a 9-something, I guess, mm-hmm. as absurd as any of that poor shit
right,
is.
Right, right.
But nonetheless, I found that a lot of it to just be not even critical discussion of the game, not even, like, honest discussion of the game. I would like it if there was generally more honest discussion of the game, you know. And if everybody loves it, nobody's really honestly dogpiling on anybody else who doesn't really like. Everybody's in this, you know, honeymoon phase of the game and everything. Mm-hmm. And then later, I think there will be more people saying, "Well, you know, the gunplay's better." And unfortunately, you haven't gotten to much of the gunplay. It's
no.
tighter. It is much tighter. It is much cleaner.
Good.
The guys who act like they're wearing body armor are at least wearing body armor this time. They're not, you know.
Somebody said they're not wearing armored plated
Hawaiian shirts.
Hawaiian shirts or tank tops.
Yeah. And so that kind of makes sense. And a lot of the animations of the enemies and stuff is a little bit nicer. Some of the effects within the environment aren't nearly as kind of cheesy, like the way some of the explosions and stuff looked in the first game. It's all a bit more. That stuff's more soluble. It kind of melts into the picture of the whole world, mm-hmm. and I like that. The one thing that I do very much disagree with is that, and this is one of those things that I think you're probably talking about, one of the specific things that
okay.
would fall under what you mentioned, is that the voice acting is so much better than one. I actually, and I know this is preference, this is taste, and there's no accounting for that necessarily, but I thought the voice acting in the first one was much more earnest and much more honest. And I think you could say that it was kind of cloying here and there a little bit, but the cast was much smaller. And the focus of the narrative was much more refined, in my opinion. And I just thought that what was there was a little more... They kind of inhabited the dialogue a little more than they do in this game. And it could be an effect of some of these characters we already know. So we don't have to work so hard at introducing them.
Mm.
Their interactions are well known at this point. So we're already at the point of shorthand conversation between, like, I guess spoilers for people that are out there. It's not really one since we all know that, like, Elena's back.
Right, right.
That's already
there. We
knew
that a little bit ago.
We know that some of these people have, even though the characters are new, we're supposed to... There's already history between them.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to kind of jump to that place, you know? So the approach seemed a little more casual. And it just felt more genuine is not the right word. I don't want to use that. It felt more honest in the first game, more of the right kind of desperate, you know, of people who were truly working so very hard to eke out all the right emotions from the voice acting. This one just seems more slick. It's not bad, but I don't see some kind of tremendous improvement or amazing growth from the first game's voice acting. I thought the first game's voice acting was actually a lot snappier, a lot faster. You know, this one's good. I liked in general how the first one worked, but, you know, it could just be that it was the first one. But it's like, you know...
I'm not very far into it, and I can't say that I can, at the point I'm at, put my finger on any differences, apparent or subtle. Of course, it's also been a little bit since I played the first game, but I mean, I think the voice acting is great.
Yeah.
And I thought the voice acting in the first one was just as great, so.
Yeah. Like I said, I think it's a preference. Probably. I would never say that this is at all worse, but I really just liked the way it came across. And okay. I think it probably had something to do with the smaller cast.
Yeah.
So, but the action, the combat, these things are much improved. I don't want to color your perceptions, but I would have liked it if there were... I found that... I just feel like there's not nearly as many puzzles. I'm not... You know... I don't need Tomb Raider, but I kind of feel like...
I agree with you on that. There's not...
There's...
You know me, I'm a puzzle guy.
Yeah.
It's
environmental puzzles.
I prefer puzzle over
combat. I'm climbing the shit out of everything. Like, stuff that doesn't even need to be
climbed. Have you caught his line where he references that?
No, I don't think so.
He's like, I'm so tired of climbing shit.
Yeah.
Never mind, I won't say anything.
Yeah. But I thought the first game... And this is... Again, I am not all the way through it. I am not. But I thought that... I thought that the search in the first game was more fun. I thought that the thing was neat. We've put a very interesting hook at the end of a true historical figure's life. You know, Sir Francis Drake is dead under these circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Except those aren't the real circumstances. And kabam! You have like this great adventure and you're off and running and looking for secret bullshit MacGuffins and it's all whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of tied into, you know, Drake's own personal history and like all these other things. I thought it made for the right kind of adventure tale. This is a little more nebulous, and it's reaching into areas of more generalized myth and maybe myths that don't resonate quite as well with a Western mind. Something about it feels the same way to me that, and I don't, you know, whatever your opinions of these movies might be, but Raiders of the Lost Ark to Temple of Doom.
Hmm.
There was a lot of historical basis to Temple of Doom. The Thug Cults, the Shankara Stones, like how they sort of wrapped into Hindu belief systems and how they represented or were represented by each of the gods and what people actually considered them to be good for and all this. Like that, there's real stuff, but it didn't work quite the same way for the Western mind. That's so steeped in, like, the Judeo-Christian shit that, like, Ark of the Covenant and fucking Cup of Christ, man, that shit, like, drives right to the heart of your Western, you know, like, Anglo-Saxon concept of mythology and adventure and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this whole India thing didn't work quite as well. Something about that, I feel like the same thing is kind of happening here. And the first one, you know, and Francis Drake is not a, you know, God's Ark or anything like that, but something about it felt much more specific in my understanding of how that thing should work. And then this one is like giant crazy jewel that I can find with a knife in the, you know, foggy hills of Shangri-La or some shit. And like, you know, feels like a Tailspin episode to me. You know? Like, I'm not buying it. Like, I'm not buying the bad guys. I'm just like, all of a sudden I'm not in it for the... I'm not in it for the thing. Or somewhere in there it feels like that. It's like, do I have a cause? What the fuck do I have a cause for? Like I'm like a cause head now, I think. I don't feel like I'm... going after the whatever, you know? I feel like...
What's my motivation?
Sort of, but it's not that. It's kind of like, I know what my motivation is, and I don't agree. I mean, but it's not bad. It's just like... I'm only being critical of it in this way because I can feel a little separation between what the game is doing and kind of what I would enjoy more. It's fine. Shangri-La, yeah, it's great. I'm not saying it's a bad Tailspin episode. You know? Like, but that's, yeah, just kind of, you know, that's just sort of kind of where I am.
Oh, yeah, clearly I need to get a little further in it to have an opinion on what you're talking about.
No, and you're yeah, very close to all of that.
Okay.
The first segment of the game is here's how you climb shit and do whatever, and, you know, it's cool. And that shit was built, like, very tight fucking tolerances. That was neat. That was a very, very well represented introduction to a game. The second segment with the, you know...
No, I don't.
Yeah, no, it's the museum.
Museum. Oh,
okay.
The museum is
okay,
the second
I see.
Segment.
Okay.
Is crap. I don't like it. I don't like the stealth. I don't like the way the stealth takedowns necessarily worked. I don't hate them. It's just like, never, you know? I mean, we don't want to like kill these guys because they're just guards and we're kind of being bad guys by going in to steal anything. These aren't armed mercenaries. These are not, like, enemy combatants in any way, necessarily. So we don't want to kill them. But it was just... It was weak. And it sort of stood at odds with, again, something else I had heard in a lot of the reviews, which was the first X amount of the game is just a nonstop adrenaline-pumped roller coaster ride that's just amazing. And then it kind of, like, falls off a cliff or the... To be more honest, the momentum slows down, is I think what people were saying. And I was like... There is no adrenaline in this museum level whatsoever. This is the antithesis of adrenaline level. Like, so I don't understand exactly what the reviewers were trying to get at by saying that it was just, you know, a rocket climb to the upper atmosphere and then kind of chilled out later on. I was like, I found it to actually be a steady and enjoyable increase through the first two-thirds of the game. Some of the indications were that the balance of the gameplay and the storytelling was kind of out of whack. Amazing up here and then sort of kind of tapered off later. But I've actually found it to be a much more palatable and I like what it does. I've thought that it's kind of gotten better and better and better and more interesting over time. So I don't know what the fuck game they were playing or what they were doing to get that impression. That's not what I got. I feel like it's getting better. And again, I'm not done, but I'm like, half or two-thirds of the way through the game. So, like, you know, at least to that point, I think it does what I say it does. And I enjoy that. So.
Yeah, I've loved it.
I know you have. I know you have, which is what sucks, because you unless I prompt you, you won't say what you think about it. You'll just tell me that you love it. And I would like to know what you think about it. But you love it so much that you can't tell me what you think about it. I just love it.
Shit.
That's what you think about it.
There's our title.
We've already done that once.
Fuck.
I mean, you agree with me that the puzzle is a little light on puzzles. And I don't need, like, arbitrary puzzles. I mean, you know, I've already done a couple major rooms that were puzzles and everything.
Yeah, I agree that I wanted more puzzles. The puzzles I got, I enjoyed. Or even then, I was a little bit critical of the puzzles that I got because, and again, without Jeremy having gone where he is, it's hard for me to say. The first,
with the room with the things, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. That puzzle.
With the puzzle where you walk in the room and at a very quick glance can understand.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly how the entire thing's going to unfold.
I loved that puzzle.
It was good, but it's like...
I love those kinds of puzzles.
Where I can look at it and tell precisely what's going to happen with pretty much every move, and it's just a matter of, well, now I have to go through the motions, and I don't really like that. I like...
I do.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay, but, like, that just seems... I don't know. Puzzle rooms are not a big thing for me, but, and I know I'm asking for a lot, but when the environment itself kind of becomes the puzzle...
Platforming puzzles I don't like.
Well, it's not necessarily, but it's kind of sometimes that.
It's like, here, I'm in this room, I gotta get over there, I gotta figure out, through looking at this room, how I'm going to get over there.
Yeah.
Whereas... You walk into another room and it's like...
Which is something that the good Tomb Raiders were actually very, very good at. And the first game, the entire game was an environmental puzzle.
Which is
something that, for what it's worth, I don't think that any subsequent game of that type has ever equaled. It has not itself equaled that.
Prince of Persia Sands of Time was about the same way, too. Because you would run into combat and you would run into a room where
It was more combat heavy. Mm-hmm. Whereas Tomb Raider, you know, aside from like rabid gorillas and venomous monkeys and like the occasional bat, and then like
the T-Rex,
like that one dude on the skateboard, and you know, like, yeah, I'm not, you think I'm lying, man? Go
no,
back.
No, I didn't look at you lying. I was looking at you like, what? Which one is this?
It was the one where like you kill him and then you get the Uzis.
Hmm.
Don't look at me like that. I'm not lying. I may have been drunk or something, but I'm pretty sure it was a skateboard guy in a cave with the Uzis. And somebody could tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
That is the coolest clue solution I've ever heard.
Yes, it is. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? It was like, and combat was really terrifying, you know, because like some animal would run out from its habitat and like, oh, Jesus Christ, you know, I got shotgun the gorilla, you know, which is in a cave in, I don't know, Egypt or where the fuck it was. I don't even remember. But it was all the environments, and I really, really liked that. And it was absurd, of course, but I liked it. And in this one, it was just, it's a little more to the point. And, you know, I don't want to say bad shit about it because it's good. And because they have made such an improvement on the combat, in my opinion. Grenade throwing is, like, spot on, usable now.
Yeah.
The weapon precision is a lot better. The cover system is good stuff. Like, run and gun is useful. Blind fire is useful. The melee is, like, pretty cool, you know, with the timed counters and stuff like that. That's all good. Obviously, you put some work into that, you want to accentuate it, you mm-hmm. know? You don't want to... I don't know. You do want to do that. So I'm not saying it's really bad, but I just liked the fact that I was always fighting against my environment to some degree, and I just didn't feel like it was going on quite as much here. It was like, which way am I going to climb?
Yeah.
But
you were given, you had some choices in some parts of the game that you can go this way or you can go that way, as far as traversing that environment or setting up a position for combat. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. But yeah, I didn't like that museum level. I just thought, like, this is... And it's, to my mind, unless there's something else later on, the only thing really like it in the game.
Hmm.
So I didn't find it to be especially instructive.
Yeah.
Because after that point, you can do stealth approaches to people, but, like, you know, he'll grab them and just, like, snap their fucking neck and toss their body aside. So it's a tenth of the time it takes to deal with one of these guys when you're knocking them out and laying them down carefully. And if you get caught doing it later on, well, you just fucking shoot your way out.
Yeah.
And that's how it works. You stealth takedown to get to the place you want to be to initiate a gunfight.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very much its own little thing. If that kind of gameplay had sort of propagated throughout the rest of the experience, I think it really would have done it a disservice, which I'm sure is why it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just funny that you do it in this particular way and then nothing later on, again, unless I'm missing something, works at all like it.
No, that is the only, and there, the thread for the game on COG was getting, a few people were around the point that you were at, Jeremy, where they had just done maybe the first three chapters, or were in the middle of the third, or the one that takes place after the museum. I'm not sure on the chapter sections there, but they were saying, man, that museum, I don't know why you guys are so gushing over this game, but I'm not feeling it, you know, they just weren't feeling it. I was like, look, that museum level is the only one of its type. It's there to say, here's our element of stealth. Here's where we're forcing you to use it. After that, it's totally up to you. You can use it or you don't have to if you're put in that situation. The rest of the game, I never use stealth except for recon, weapon gathering, or getting ready. Mm-hmm. It was all for setting up a firefight, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was the only other reason I used stealth.
Because the AI is good. They present fun, good firefights.
Yeah, the more guys I could get rid of without getting into a firefight, the better I felt about getting into that firefight. If I could get rid of them ahead of time and, like, take out... God,
but it also doesn't...
Snipers and missile guys.
It also doesn't work 100%. It really doesn't. Like, if I'm behind a log or something and another guy's, like, right over there, and, like, I jump up to, like, grab him and instead I... You know,
make a noise.
I punch the air.
Yep.
Or like I go, and he sees me and then shoots me. It's like, well, that.
That happened to me in the museum one time, actually.
It did happen.
Except,
you saw it happen
alarms.
To me, remember? Yeah. Dude was leaning up against the railing, and I thought, well, I'll just climb up here.
Yeah, that's exactly
the same
what I
place,
thought.
Yeah.
And my guy, like, swung into the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's like, ugh! Oh.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And but I played it a second time and it worked.
It's spotty if there's if there's something in the environment between you and the guy. Mm-hmm. If you need to lean over something and grab him, mm-hmm. there seems to be a decent chance a lot of times that it's not going to happen.
Which is different from hanging off of something and grabbing a guy.
Okay.
If you're hanging on the edge of something,
well, there's no option to stand up and punch the air.
Yeah.
You're either going to do nothing or you're going to succeed in a stealth takedown.
Yeah. Which, the first time you do that, which is in the museum level.
There's a guy above you.
And you grab him and you toss him over.
There's a guy below you.
That was great.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's good. All of that shit's intact. Like, all the witty
good laugh out loud
repartee stuff is like... And it is so very well orchestrated, because you know that that's what this game does. Like, you know that's how these fuckers write their shit. But it still kind of always catches you off balance.
Uh-huh,
catches you when you're not ready for it.
They do a really good job with that shit, because...
The timing is excellent.
Becky's mom are both sitting in there. And I'm sure Becky's mom didn't expect to, like, enjoy watching a game. But, like, they were both just kind of glued to
keep them around for some later stuff, because they'll really get a kick out of that.
No, it is, and it is probably one of the most watchable games, ever. Although I was bored as shit watching you in the museum area, but for obvious reasons. No, she came down. She sat down next to me last night and was like, "I'm just gonna go. I'm gonna go make some. I'm gonna dinner.
Not for that guy."
and then they're like, you know, an hour and a half. You know, it's very easy for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's good. I'm going to knock it out and play through it. I was surprised at how much I liked the multiplayer.
Okay, so you did...
No, I haven't done it yet. I was pissed off that you didn't want to play multiplayer more. You wanted to go, I want single player, blah, 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 blah. I was like, fuck you, get online, kill some guys. Which, actually, I couldn't do, because, like, watching him try to kill guys online, oh my
frustrated
God.
Frustrated the fuck out of him.
Pissed me off so much. I'm like, pick up that, reload, now hide behind this thing, get the guy on the left, on the your other left, get the guy, re-fucking load. God, oh, you son of a bitch, you're dead. Fuck you. This is what we did, so, God, I can't imagine why Scott didn't want to play anymore multiplayer. But no, I When the beta first came out, I played a little bit. I was like,
I never touched the beta. I didn't really like it all that much.
But watching you play it, it just seemed like a much more interesting experience than what I was having when I played it.
And I think
originally,
that co-op's going to be fun for us.
Yeah, we're going to get all over that. Yeah. But I kind of liked what I was seeing in the multi. I was like, it's just a regular adversarial team deathmatch, but it's kind of... Oh, kind of fun, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like I didn't realize there was co-op in it.
How
does that work?
There are...
Separate missions.
Okay.
It's an isolated campaign.
For this game, I think that's the perfect thing to do. And I don't usually say that about co-op, but I can't imagine...
Which, obviously, you know, in a minute, we have to have words about... The story apparently got some revivification about, like... Why Infinity Ward didn't want co-op.
Oh, no, yeah.
It came back up, which... That exact comment came up months ago. I don't understand why this has sort of been regurgitated.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever. They want to print it. I'll talk about
it. Maybe it was an official capacity thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have no
idea. But no, yes, in this respect, it's like, okay, because of the way the very complex interweaving of people at any one point in time. And I will have to say, Uncharted 2's particular take on the escort mission is okay by me.
I can't wait to see that then.
With the guy and the thing where you are? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, it's kind of absurd because I'm still getting shot a lot. You know? I always find it absurd in a game where it's like, this guy is incapacitated or your character's incapacitated because he got shot.
Mm-hmm.
And like, but the number of times through the course of the game where I actually am hit by bullets but not shot... is very funny to me, but it's like, whatever, who gives a shit, you know?
This one hits you in a really bad place.
Yeah.
The others didn't.
Yeah, right? So, you know.
That's always the way I explain that to myself, yeah.
No, but the way this one, you know, and it wasn't exactly the escort mission, but...
You got shot with a story bullet.
Yeah, I did. Yep. So, but it was good. I was like, I'm not pissed off. Look at how not pissed off I am. It's amazing. So, and it was brief, so, which is how all escort missions should be.
Yeah.
Yes, very brief, but good payoff.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
So the thing that I told you where I was after the stuff, remember? You remember. Don't laugh at it. You know what I'm talking about.
No, I laugh at just how we're doing that.
Remember, right. Going around. You know what I'm talking about? The thing, Scott.
Yes, I know, I know. I'm not, I'm with you.
Acknowledge,
get
motherfucker.
To your thing. Yes. What?
It. Are there more?
Yes.
Okay. Do I have to fight, like, more at once? Because they always do that.
In a way, yes.
You know?
I know, I know.
Simultaneously? Great scads and oodles of them running around?
Let me... Your first time?
I already did my first time.
Right. It'll never be that frustrating again.
Oh, okay. It was a little...
I didn't... The first time I was like, oh, you motherfucker, you did it again.
But the part where it does the reveal, where it shows it for the first time with the camera angle,
mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, oh, that was pretty
fun. Impressive,
yeah, I was like, whoa, that was cool.
Yes.
I was like, that sort of... That made me feel bad.
Yeah.
We are like, very good about talking about shit and understanding it without letting anybody else know what the fuck we're talking about.
Well, there's a place where something
about spoiler
happens.
Shit without being spoiler.
And it was
because
like,
I have no idea what the fuck you guys are talking
You will
about.
When it happens.
But
you'll know it because.
I was like, it was just a moment. And I was like,
you'll glitch a little bit when it happens.
I was like, well, part of it is because I certainly didn't expect the jump scene.
Uh-uh.
And I was like, whoa, hey. You just did, you know, your version of a jump scene. That's pretty cool.
And it was nice. It was very...
And you made me feel bad, because I know what's going to happen in a minute. Fuck you. Well, actually, I didn't, because I thought maybe they're not going to go there. And maybe they're just going to make an indication of that, because he kind of dismisses it.
I was the same way.
You know what I mean?
I was the same way, yeah.
Which was good. Really good timing and balance. And
poor Jeremy.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it. It's pretty cool.
I'm playing a lot this weekend, so.
But now, you know that. So that
having said that, it'll never be as frustrating. Before that was my experience.
Yeah.
I
mean, I didn't like die or nothing, and I was on hard, so it was just kind of like. You know, I've shot you a couple times.
Here's a weird thing: like almost the entire time I've been playing this game, I've had Amy on Facebook chatting with her at the same time. It's not cheating.
It's cheating.
How's that cheating?
Because?
Dude, she's as vague as fuck when it comes. She's like, I'll ask a question. She's like, I'm being cagey here because I don't want to spoil anything for you.
Right.
You know, and
you're trying to cheat.
So then I'll play.
you're asking questions. All right.
I did ask her one specific question once. I was like, look, I suck when it comes to ammo. Do I need to stock up here before I walk over here? Do I need to keep?
Hey, the answer is always yes.
Well, you'll get to it later.
The answer's always yes. I've been playing games for a long time.
It was the type of weapon that I should, because you can only...
Oh, you were talking about what type... Well, that's different.
Yeah.
Should I stock up on ammo is a very general question, to which the answer is always yes.
My question was, should I stock up on this ammo, or should I stock up on this?
Oh, well, that's... No. You can't do that. You got to make those decisions.
Did she answer you?
She said... She's like, I'm not sure. I don't think it'll make a difference, but I'm being cagey here. Because she was very... She does not want me to...
I can't imagine that it would necessarily make a difference, because...
You'll find out.
They don't really do that anymore.
You will find out.
They used to do that.
Yeah, they used to be really bad about that.
But I haven't had that problem in a game
in years. Actually, after you find out, then I can explain it to you about exactly what I was trying to ask.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
So, anyway.
But you know, you don't even really have to stock up on ammo that much anymore, but, if, you know, you play Resident Evil...
Yeah.
And I don't mean 4. I mean Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Then you don't ever want to get short on bullets.
No.
You know, I see my bullets getting down, and I'm like, well, I gotta find some ammo.
But, you know, I'd get through a section of the game, and I'd go back, and I was like, I just did this, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'd tell her what I think, and then she would give me this little insight about how that Jeremy. The level I liked that you said was really obvious, the puzzle I liked that you said was really obvious, we were talking just the other day, and I said, yeah, I did that. I really, really enjoyed that. And she told me who the guy was that designed that. And it was an old friend of hers. They'd been working together for years from back in her Soul Reaver days. And I said, I knew it. That's the first thing I thought of when I saw that damn puzzle.
I could see that. Like, it didn't occur to me at all. But I just, with the, you know, aren't really.
But I'm, it was. It was
turning these.
It was a different experience, like, having her there, because it was like having running commentary as I was playing the game.
Yeah, it was. I bet it was. No, that makes sense. I mean, it's fine. I don't want to poo-poo that puzzle or anything. It was fine. It was just like, puzzle room. Okay. The ancients had nothing better to do than, you know, design this. Instead of, like, pushing a button that opens the thing, you obviously have to do this. And
when are you going to play it, RJ?
Later.
So, I mean, it's great.
Finally gets, like, some new hotness that, like, you can experience with us, and you just choose not to. It's kind of like slap in the face, right?
Slap in the face. RJ doesn't care.
No.
Whatever. Well, I mean, to be quite honest, like,
he's not going to show up next time.
Fucking, I had relegated Demon Souls to, like, this fringe title somehow in my head. I guess this is what I get for consuming, like, too much of the wrong kinds of media sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And getting in a position where, like, I'm supplanting someone else's experience for my own. But, like, particularly on COG, there seems to be a running discussion of, man, Uncharted 2 is great. I can't wait to beat it so I can go back to Demon's Souls. You know? Like, this is like, a really dominant game right now. And not being treated in the community like the fringe title I thought it was. So, I am now angry because of how curious I am. I have no budget. I have no time budget for this goddamned game, but I think I'm probably going to throw it into a queue or maybe try to pick it up on some kind of rental at the very least. So, I don't know. I'm a little irritated that it's not a fringe title that I can kind of dismiss, but understand that other people have enjoyed immensely. No, it's apparently a somewhat fringe title that's, like, making a very broad, mainstream, you know, splash among people. So, I don't know. Clearly, it's very fucking good.
Yeah, I'm having a good time with it.
I bet you are. Why don't you elaborate?
I'm hoping that later on in the show, the since a question is directly aimed at you, we'll get some better, you know.
You know, maybe I should go to the forums and write a little something about it, because I can.
People
I can
talk
write
to
it.
You, man. I'm wondering where you're at, but people talk to you.
Yeah, no, you should. You definitely
write it
should.
I could probably write it better than I could speak it.
Yeah.
But that's fine. In fact, I'll do that.
All right.
I'll post something on the boards about that.
That's a completely legitimate outlet.
I'll get everybody my impression that way.
I don't suppose anybody has. Well, you still haven't gotten your Brutal Legend.
It obviously came in. If he got his games today, if Jeremy got his today,
they both showed up today.
Then I got Brutal Legend today.
That damn federal holidays.
Yeah, I know.
If I'm not going to get to take them, then, like, what good are they?
They already had Sunday off.
Delayed my games by 2 days because they were off one day.
Yeah, just fucked up the whole math.
I know.
I haven't played Brutal Legend at all. I did, the hell happened? I came home on Wednesday, and I was gonna, like, knock out a great giant whack of Uncharted, and, like, Dana was in the back, like, she was in the game room, like, you know, she ran out to say hi when I came home, and I was like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm being brutal. Come watch. And I was like, oh, God damn it. So, nothing for me that night. She was being brutal. And, like, I refuse to draw any kind of conclusion whatsoever from what I watched her do because of how she plays. Like, I don't know if those things that look kind of like porcupines and run around all over the world are things you're supposed to kill. I have no idea, because she won't kill them.
Because they look like porcupines.
Because they look like porcupines. Like, so she's like, these are great. And then she'd, like, drive up on one. And then she's driving around in her awesome car, you know. And I came in at the tail end of some conversation with Ozzy, which I must agree with everyone else, delivers an unsettlingly clear performance. It almost sounds like an Ozzy impersonation, but not even a good one, because, like, you're just making too much sense. This would be funnier if you... or maybe they just didn't want to succumb to the joke. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, so I watched her play for a while, and to give you an example, there's, like, this giant open world, And, like, it's kind of like this road, and there's, like, some rocks over here, and then there's, like, a thing that's, like, used to be a tree right here, and then this other thing. And in this big open world where there's also a road, so what does Dana do? She drives into that rock and bounces off of it and, like, goes across the thing and into the thing that used to be a tree and then hits, like, this other, like... She cannot be allowed to drive in video games. You could put one fucking pole in the middle of a giant goddamn planet that's nothing but an open field, and she'll get stuck on that pole. It's exactly what happens every time. I'm not fucking kidding you. So it, like... I'm like auto pissed when I watch her.
How did she play Mass Effect in the tank?
Dude, she shot everything with the auto cannon for three quarters of the game. Oh, it's just, and it's real frustrating because eventually I start to offer suggestions, which is not the best idea.
No.
So I watched for a while, and then she's like, you know, trying to decide what she wants to do, and I'm trying to tell her like what the game wants her to do, you know, and those aren't the same things. So she wants to go over and do this and this other thing. And so, I mean, I watched for a long time, but the things I didn't like about what I was seeing are clearly not the game's fault. So, but I also, and I don't want to involve myself too much in this other thing, because the game is what it is, but it feels a little overlord to me in some places.
I was wondering if that was going to be...
Yeah, it's kind of how I felt about it. And I was like, oh, I'm not in the mood for that. I want to, like, swing my axe at things and just kill things directly, and I don't want to have minions, and I don't really want to do that, but that's what it is. So I need to get in a headspace where I can take it for what it is. I've already got, you know, a few things about it that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few other things about it, about what it is, being very honest about itself, that just don't naturally appeal to me. And I don't even mean the metal setting. I can totally appreciate that, even though I'm not into it. Just the style of game it is, I'm not... I feel like that's maybe not my thing. But I'm really interested in not... I already have so many preconceived notions about the game, I would like to sort of cleanse myself of that. Mm-hmm. And try to approach it honestly. So that's another thing that's going to happen this weekend. There was just simply no way I was going to actually get anything done with it. So, and the other thing I played is Muramasa, the Demon Blade.
How'd that go?
Yeah.
Tell me about it, because I...
Super pretty, weird, because it's about Japanese things. So, mythological storytelling stuff. I'm playing with a GameCube controller.
Okay.
You don't have to waggle and do stuff.
Good.
I don't... It's not... I'm not terribly far. I like the way it's constructed to some degree. I agree with some of the critical statements that there's just too much backtracking. Like, it's presented in an entirely two-dimensional format.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of your... You're kind of constrained by certain magical barriers that prevent you from traveling to certain places and completing certain goals and proceeding with the story. And you have to get certain blades that, when equipped, will allow you to destroy the barrier. So the blade acts as key to the barrier, essentially.
Okay.
But a lot of times, you'll like go through this entire area and have your like little random fights. And the fights are fucking fun. Like, they're just... crazy, goofy, over-the-top fun. And I like the kind of balance of having the different swords, having like three swords of different types equipped. And if you do too much blocking with any one of them or shit like that, that sword's energy is reduced. I'm dropping the ball on the terminology that the game specifically uses. But basically that sword will break and you have to sheathe it.
Mm.
And pull out another sword and like go to work, you know, doing shit with that sword while the other sword regains its power.
Okay.
Reforges itself or something. But you can switch back and forth on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
Because each sword has different attack styles. There are long swords that have slow, powerful attacks, smaller, faster swords. Each sword has its own special attack. that it's imbued with, and you could, like, there's this entire, like, impressive system of forging swords based on certain principles. There's, like, this whole tree, basically, like this forgery tree, which looks like a hell, like, intimidatingly deep. Like, I did not expect this. I thought it was just going to swing swords and shit for a while. I didn't think I was going to have to care about, you know, swordsmithing. But there it is. So the combat is very simple. There's lots of options, and it can be very complex and very deep, but it doesn't seem like it even needs to be. But it's very pretty. The controls are pretty tight. I don't prefer them the way they are. The controls are of the type that to jump, I press up on the stick instead of having a jump button.
Yeah.
Not a fan of that.
Yeah.
I like jump buttons in things like this. So, you know, and to, like, dive down, I have to, like, press down, which is fine, but it's, like, the jump thing is a little odd for me. I would like just having a jump button.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't take long for me to get over it, you know, and it's pretty fast. It was okay. Just a little counterintuitive for me. So I've gotten all the time in the world with it.
Man, what way is it pretty?
It's all hand-drawn 2D art.
Okay.
It's all, it's a very rich palette, like lots of saturated colors. It's by the same guys who did Odin Sphere on the PS2. So it is all very much, and it is done in the, that sort of very, I'm sure the art references are specific, and somebody who knows enough could tell me what they are. But it is all kind of very rich watercolor art style thing. Not like Okami watercolor, not that sort of dilute and airy, breezy type of thing, but rich and kind of dense, natural colors.
Okay.
Good art design. Like, it's good. It's good. It is not, by any stretch of the imagination, a graphically powerful game, but the battles are, like, overwhelming with effects. Maybe a little bit too much, because I see more effect rather than what I'm actually doing, but the world is nice, and it's really good.
It sounds like fun.
It feels like something that I miss a lot. I very much miss 2D art, hand-drawn art in games. I miss that. And to be quite honest, I wish that more things were represented that way. Like, side-scrolling, you know, shmups and, like, brawlers and things like that still have a tendency to work in that space. But I really miss RPGs in that space. I miss the isometric view, hand-drawn stuff in that space. And I know that it requires a certain kind of investment to do that, but it can't. As an aside, I don't know how many times we can stand to have conversations about the stratospheric cost of making a video game and then at all talk about the time and effort it would take to make something hand-drawn. It's simply got to be a choice. There's no... Maybe more time-intensive, but we can't be talking overall expense, you know? People just don't want to work there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I miss my 2D games. I miss, you know, with Dragon's Age, or the hell's the goddamn Origins, Dragon Age Origins.
Oh.
I was trying to think of the subtitle. The superfluous subtitle. with that looming, I can't help but think back to how much I enjoyed earlier 2D, you know, Baldur's Gate, Icewind Dale.
Yeah.
Planescape, you know, this for the environment that they were in. Like, obviously I have to think about those things now with Dragon Age on the horizon, but I wish more things were happening in that space, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I still think back, I think I have this bias toward Knights of the Old Republic that I have had for years and years and years. I've never really liked the game. And I wanted so badly, when I first heard that they were making that game, for it to be... I wanted it, I swear to God, I wanted it to be Baldur's Gate. but Star Wars. I wanted it to look like it and work like it and feel like it and be drawn in that manner. And I wanted for that very ancient Star Wars world to be represented with that kind of art. And it's, I miss it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even feel like it's like we've abandoned our roots or anything. It's just it was a style that was good and that there was not necessarily any reason to get rid of. So seeing it at all, it's even in something like Muramasa, where you can find good examples of it still, it's nice. It feels really good. You have to really appreciate the effort somebody puts into it. And it is... That is at least half the reason that I'm going to be buying Machinarium. So, like, the last thing I need in my life right now is an adventure game that makes me want to kill myself because it's hard. Because I'm not very good at adventure games, but I love them. And I'm horrible. I should say, yeah, I'm not very good at adventure games. I fucking suck at adventure games. I am terrible. Like, I'm just really, really bad at them. I have a hard time, for some reason, in that environment, like letting go and just having non-linear thinking, mm-hmm. you know? So I have to fight my own frustration a lot. And so, I mean, some of them are just stupid. Like, some... I suppose it's exercises in non-linear thinking, but a lot of adventure games were just... The solutions were so arbitrary that...
Yeah, absolutely.
And... You know, and I read the I'll take for serious the Rock Paper Shotgun opinions on things, and RPS, like they did their talkie about Machinarium today, and like made me feel good, and, and I'm very clear about like the things you're liable to not be pleased about, but if on the one hand I'm going to talk about how much I miss the representation of hand-drawn art in a video game, and then to see that game, mm-hmm. like, got to be there. I need to be there. I need to be a part of that. So,
I'll take a quick break.
Sure. All
right.
No.
No.
No, I'm just kidding, dude. What's wrong with you?
We're sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, this is internet celebrity Nick Paleo.
And I'm the internet's Mike Katsafrakis.
When we're not trouncing through the Middle East as 50 Cent and Tony Ayo, we're recording the Co-opticast.
As the hosts of the internationally acclaimed Co-opticast, your one-stop co-op gaming podcast, we'll bring you insightful news, reviews, and coverage of all your favorite co-op games.
Find out more at www.cooptimist.com/podcast.
ASF at this time.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's because I put myself on the daily.
Oh.
Distribution.
On the daily distribution? Yeah. Why?
Honestly...
It's all production stuff.
It is... A, more information is better than less information.
Mm-hmm.
B... Like, I know I haven't been in this particular sliver of the job for very long, mm-hmm. but I spent 7 years in the place that was dominated by the daily. And the daily is often sometimes circulated amongst people, a closed group of people, in regards to where they're going to be when.
Ah.
That it will contain information that, like, I often found myself knowing, simply because I read the daily back in production land, that other people in other... Yeah, corridors and stretches of real estate in the building had no idea about, and those things would sometimes come into conflict.
Okay.
So it became, honestly, a more information is better than less information thing.
Okay.
Because some days there will be a piece of information in that daily that helps me out in the course of my of my life. I will know where people are.
Well, this comes up why? Because you have an iPhone.
I got my iPhone. I got my iPhone. Speaking of which, let me pull that out and stop participating in the show. You guys go on right ahead. I'm going to download some apps.
I'm going to tell everybody why you ended up getting an iPhone.
No, I'm too busy playing with it. Why did I end up getting an iPhone? So my job can email me?
Yeah.
All the time? Because I'm an IT guy. And, you know, they wanted to pay me real money, which was great. And then I realized that meant that I was on call all the time. No.
And then I disappeared for a week.
And then you disappeared for a week and had a baby. But I got an iPhone, so I personally think I came out much better. Yeah, but there were discounts on the plan, and there were things, and there was the whatever, and also it's like a really hot piece of technology, which I enjoy. You know, there's a little part of me on the inside that, you know, does a, you know, shake my fist at the man for, like, trying to so completely dominate this platform with his stupid DRMs and his stuff like that. And then there's part of me that sits down and plays with it and tells this other part to shut the fuck up. Because this is clearly the most usable piece of handheld technology I've ever owned. I adore it, of course. I haven't played any games on it yet. I suppose, you know, I have to. All the times I've told Scott, you know, it's his duty as...
That's true.
An American
That's
male true. To download things that I know are just plainly awful.
I was hoping you would say that.
Look, I'm not, dude, I'm a bit of a kind of a cad and an asshole. I know that. But I know it. Okay? And I own it. And I'm willing to sort of, I get it, you know, and I subject myself to some of my own medicine from time to time. I don't mind doing that at all.
There's some game, I wish I could remember the name of it, but I've seen it several times. Scott might know what it is. There's a bunch of little wheels or balls or stuff, and you tip it and they roll, and you get them through little mazes, and they're different kind that have different effects and may stick to certain things. You don't know what I'm talking about. I think they got little eyeballs on them, too, or something. Yeah, they're real cute. Yeah. But it looked like an awful lot of fun for like a little.
I guarantee
you, know,
you somebody who listens to the show will know exactly what you're talking about.
There's probably like you know, a couple dozen games like I just described, but
it's amazing the amount of clones that you will find.
But
this one
made an impression on me the first time I saw it, and it's kind of early on when games first started coming out for the device. So
not even just games of games that we play on like consoles or other handhelds or anything like that. Clones of other iPhone games.
Yeah.
You know, just tons of those out there.
I believe it.
The amount, not saying that there is one official Texas Hold'em poker out there, but the amount of options you have to choose from on the App Store of just Texas Hold'em is staggering. There's one game that James might like, and now I can't remember what the fuck it's called, but you're... God, it's not called Airline or something like that, but it was tons of people were playing it not very long ago, but just addictive to hell.
You know what the whole situation reminds me of?
It was like air
of?
Traffic control, basically, is what you were playing on your iPhone.
Sure. It reminds me of the 2600 days when there wasn't a lot of quality control and weren't people like looking over your shoulder to see what you made. It's just like, yeah, whatever you want, put it out.
Right.
You want to clone somebody else's thing and slap a different name on it, put it out.
It goes through a certification process, but...
And it's, in a way, it's kind of fun, I think, to go back to that. I mean, there's a lot of junk laying around. You obviously want to steer clear.
Right.
But that seems kind of fun to me, too. So, whatever. I'll end up with one eventually, I'm sure. Or maybe not. Maybe I'll get something else. I don't know. I need something. Because my dumbass old BlackBerry GPRS device just doesn't cut it. I need something I can, you know, remote desktop with and...
Yeah. Do real, you know, stuff.
Have, I don't know, CSS and tables and shit.
Yeah. I still have this vision of us walking around, like, with, wearing netbooks and... holsters.
Yeah.
I want to do that real bad. I don't know why.
So,
enough technology. Yeah, where were we? What are we doing?
How about that Epic Mickey shit, man? Have you been looking at those pictures, Scott?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Goddamn.
Like,
blue-ass Christ, man. I cannot tell you how fucking pissed I am that it's a goddamned Wii game. I'm done just... bashing on the Wii for no fucking reason, but holy shit, come on. God, I've never had such a, you know, a peak and a valley so close together.
I am in love with the world they've created for that game.
I'm astonished
playing it on the platform they've done it for
and having to look at it. Yeah.
I am astonished at the world they've apparently been able to create.
Mm-hmm.
This is no fly by night horseshit, you know, indie creation of an idea that might be neat. This is sanctioned.
That creepy zombie machine thing with the Mickey Mouse ears on top of it.
Yeah.
Man, oh.
It was funny. Jeremy and I were sitting there looking at the picture, like, of the crazy thing that, for fuck's sake, looks like it crawled out of System Shock 2. And, like, and if the, you put your...
If, yeah.
If you
yeah.
put... Yeah, we literally, like, I put my thumb over the Mickey Mouse ears.
And we're just like, ah, it's just,
and we're like,
you know,
oh, it's a creepy weird thing. Then I move my thumb and we're both... Jesus. What a phenomenal catalyst for horrifying imagery. A zombie thing with Mickey ears on it.
Yeah.
What an amazing discovery.
And more amazing than Disney and is like, sure.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, how exactly. does Disney sanction a multi-headed, zombified, cybernetic... crazy ass thing with like big thing sticking out over here with a goofy face on it, and then like, you know,
fucking
like a Jafar in its crotch or whatever. Yeah. That is like, and I'm like, do they know, have they seen this?
It's like,
have you somehow hidden this from them?
Yeah.
It's like some...
it amazes me.
It's like some internet artist really into necrophilia got a hold of the Disney stuff and Rule 42'd it.
Yeah. It's like some oddball shit I'd see cross-linked from Boing Boing because of Cory Doctorow's obsession with Disney, you know? Like, it's...
But it's completely legit.
That's... So beyond... Yes, beyond my problem with my knee-jerk reaction to the Wii platform, I am... Like, I'm kind of out of my mind confused at how this is a real Disney thing, because I can't think of anything. I mean, Disney has sponsored strange things.
Have you seen the giant boat with Spaceship Earth on it? The Epcot ball? And it's, like, all broken and falling.
Yeah, it looks like a Fallout 3 Epcot ball.
I agree, yeah. It's weird. Disney World Fallout 3 or something.
It's fucked up.
But that isn't...
Fallout 3 tomorrow, man.
The art and the vision of this world... isn't even the most interesting part of the story, as we learned today.
Did you know that Oswald the Lucky Rabbit is apparently the main antagonist, one of his earlier creations? Did you know?
He was owned by Universal.
Because Disney did. You read that? Yeah. Disney traded an actual human being, a sportscaster, to get Oswald the Lucky Rabbit from Universal.
How does that sportscaster be?
And I want to know where on this, and I had to show this to Jeremy, but that it reminds me of the
Canadian baseball player, the
minor league baseball player who was traded for 10 baseball bats. It's less funny because he died somehow, and that really sucked. So now you feel bad for laughing at him, but he was like, so I don't know. I don't know where. Are those two guys the scale of...
How long after the trade did he die?
I don't know. Was it of shame? I don't know. I don't think so. It was unrelated circumstances, I think.
You're going over here. Oh, damn. Well, I miss you guys. That's okay. Will you bring us the bats?
We got some great bats. Yeah, I don't know. It was a whole thing.
Maybe
about
he had a terminal illness and they knew. He's like, hey, you just trade me them for some bats and...
Yeah, I don't know about it. It was the first thing I thought about because I heard it on NPR back in the spring. I don't travel really in sports circles, and I'm sure it's old news to people who do. But that's kind of what I thought about. But this is even more absurd. Like, this dude wasn't even traded for a tangible item of anything with any, like, genuine market value. You were traded for a piece of dusty-ass IP that was sitting in a vault. How about that shit? You know?
That's awesome.
God damn it, man. Like... You know, all value is relative, so I suppose given the way Disney leverages its properties for profit, you could kind of spin that in a way that's like, you know, well, Disney feels like this is core to a certain profit vector, you know. So mm-hmm. in Disney's eyes, it's obviously a very valuable thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to help you out here, guy who got traded for a cartoon rabbit.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Disney was just like, we'll give you this guy.
But how do
Universal
you...
said...
No, the Universal wanted that guy.
Okay, that's
they
what,
wanted
well,
to
that's
pair him with John Madden.
That's even better for him.
To do.
But I just wonder how that happens. Like, I didn't think that level of creativity was possible when giant megacorp brains were brokering a deal. I thought that it was only somehow like money, you mm-hmm. know? It's kind of like when a judge sentences like some offender to, instead of like jail time, some sort of really creative punishment, like cleaning the puke out of the back seats of police cars,
yeah.
you know? With a swab held between their teeth, or so, like something like truly horrifying, and I'm like, "Wow, creativity in the judiciary—that's really great."
Mm-hmm.
I just swapping a guy for a rabbit. I don't know, a cartoon rabbit,
and an obscure, highly obscure cartoon rabbit. It's
yeah.
not, you know, it wasn't a Bugs Bunny trade.
And I have this really awesome picture of like that bridge in Berlin. You know, that used to be like on the demarcation line between East and West Berlin, where they would trade prisoners. You know, with like,
what did they say when they got to that meeting?
Yeah,
it's like,
I don't know.
All right, that's the guy.
What does the guy say to the rabbit? I don't know. I think the rabbit tells the guy to do a barrel roll.
Jeez.
okay. So yes,
RJ's like, "What's so funny? I was a Genesis guy."
I don't know where it comes from.
I know. I don't exactly know where to go next. Other than I still can't get my head around it. It's weird as hell, and I still haven't got my Game Informer on the subject.
I haven't either.
Sort of pisses me
off.
Well,
I haven't been home today, so I don't know. But I got it yet. You know, damn federal holiday.
Yep.
Then again. You know, there was some concern. I don't know that we mentioned this on the show. We were just talking about this, you and me, about you had sent back Killzone 2 to GameFly.
Yeah, it took like a week and a half for them to get it.
And
sent two games back at the same time.
Come to find out, this poster worker admits to stealing over 2,000 GameFly.
Really?
Yeah. Like, okay, GameFly's already in a tiff with the Postal Service.
Yeah,
because they're offering a lot of favoritism to
Netflix
and Blockbuster and all the other.
They haven't been able to get
services.
The same level of service.
Yeah.
Reginald Johnson, a former United States postal worker, has admitted to stealing over 2,200 shipments
Jeez.
From GameFly customers in and around Philadelphia. Anyway, he got caught during a sting operation. And so, yeah, he was a truck unloader, and he was just kind of pocketing them. There you go.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
He sold about $86,000 worth of video games between April and September.
How many of them you think were traded into GameStop?
Yeah. That's actually a really good question.
At least some of which he then handed over to GameStop. What must have been a record-shattering pile of store credit.
See?
Yeah, but maybe not even... I mean, that's... They offer cash.
Yeah.
The company offers cash, which, like... They can say whatever the fuck they want to say about why, like, they do what they do and offering cash and everything, but fuck them. Like, it's very clear, and they know damn well what sorts of things are more likely to happen when you offer cash, you know, when you've become pawn stop, as
yeah.
you said earlier.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. That's
even
a bad
when,
idea.
Even when he got arrested, he jumped into his SUV and tried to escape, except he crashed his vehicle, and then he was captured on foot nearby. The backpack that he had on him, or that agents recovered from his SUV and the duffel bag that he had, That alone contained 160 games.
Jesus.
Which is no small amount of money.
No, none at all. Isn't Philly a hub?
I'm not sure.
Wasn't it one of their hubs? Or am I just making that up?
I'm not sure.
I used to pay more attention back when they didn't have but like a couple. But I thought it was California, and then they added Philly as the East, or something in that area.
Tampa
was added after. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know. I didn't know if you still remembered.
No, there's one. Yeah, because Kevin's close to one, and he still gets his games late.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's one, either in Philly or maybe it may even be in Ohio.
I don't remember. Yeah, I could have sworn that it was in Philadelphia, but...
But yeah, the amount of... I imagine the amount of mail Gamefly was getting from customers saying, yeah,
I wouldn't
either sent you this game or I haven't gotten
necessarily have been too hard to figure out. And I'm sure that their little survey about tell us when you got your game, tell us, you know, when you sent it back or something like that.
Red flags probably started going up.
Well, coupled with complaints, like, hey, I sent my game back.
Right.
X amount of time ago, but haven't seen, which is exactly where I thought I was going to be at with the Resistance, because I sent Resistance and Killzone back simultaneously. Killzone got back in like 2 days. Resistance didn't show up as back for like 8 or 9, I guess. So, yeah, that's... Glad you caught him, though.
What else?
What?
I'm just looking. Hey! You got a text now.
Text, yeah.
I know that sound. Oh, Captain Lou.
Captain Lou.
Albano.
Oh.
Died.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yep.
76, right?
Huh?
He was 76, right?
That sounds right.
Yes. Actually, you're right. I think he was, yeah. At age 76, yeah.
I've never been into wrestling, ever.
Yeah.
Whatsoever at all. But like when I was young, when I was like 10 or something, I don't know, something like that. I had a friend who was into wrestling at the time. And my picture of wrestling will always be what wrestling was at that time.
Yeah.
In what, I don't know, 84, 85.
Sure.
You know, like when I learned of, you know, Captain Lou Albano and like what he was. And so I always have this kind of picture of that kind of thing and this particular friend's appreciation for it and for the characterizations of that time. And it's impossible for it to be anything different in my head. So, not that I can be especially affected by the passing of a wrestling figure, but, like, that's as close as I guess I can come to having any sort of appreciation for it. It kind of makes me feel bad, you know? I don't know. It's weird.
Well, I was a big fan of the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool shit. Yeah.
As a wrestler, he was a little bit before my time. I didn't start watching wrestling as a kid until after he had kind of gone away.
Uh-huh.
So.
Well, I like Cyndi Lauper videos, too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else? Just some hits. The
NC
boycott is over with.
Yeah.
Sure. You know. And then there was that whole thing about Infinity Ward saying that co-op just doesn't work. And
yeah, whatever.
We've responded to this before. We'll respond to it again. The other games have done it.
Yeah. I cannot believe
other games with the same, you know, in the same franchise, same title,
sure,
doing
pretty much
the same kind of thing your game's doing. So
I cannot believe that they have created some heretofore unexplored level of single-player storytelling intensity that simply cannot work with co-op. I just don't...
It'd have to be a pretty big departure from their other games for co-op not to work in it.
I can remember many, many specific moments from their previous games that would not have worked with co-op. Hell, they World at War had... There were two whole missions that you could not do in co-op.
Okay.
They just simply were redacted
from the
co-op campaign. You didn't do them. I still have not done them because I've never done the game not in co-op. But one of them was apparently like the C-130 Spectre mission from Call of Duty 4, when you're like, you know, in the gunship, switching between the different guns, like shooting the guys and stuff. Yeah, okay, that's not a good mission for co-op. So, you know, even if somehow under some circumstances the inclusion of another player destroys what you consider to be the very delicate balance of your pacing and storytelling and all of these things, who fucking cares? It's still intact for the single player experience. I think everybody pretty much understands that in a story-driven and or in a single-character-driven game, the inclusion of a second person pretty much blows the concept out of the water. I played with four motherfuckers running around the Von Braun in System Shock 2. And it fucking killed all of the tension and everything, but it was really, really fun. I also played it alone, where all of the tension and the pacing and the focusing of the level design was perfect, and I experienced it completely. I didn't write an angry letter because it was all broken up in co-op. It, you know, and that's kind of where they think, where it sounds to me like they're at. It's like, oh, inclusion of co-op, it just fucks up all this fancy shit we did. And it's like, yeah, I don't give a shit because I'm playing in co-op, and that's fun. I'll experience all your fancy shit at its fancy-ass best when I play the single player, which, quite frankly, isn't even remotely the high point of your product anymore.
No.
Like,
To be honest, I don't know about, you know, other people, but I think most of us are getting it for the multiplayer,
yes,
aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah. And there are a hell of a lot of people I know that have never played the single player of Call of Duty 4.
Yeah. Oh, Scott.
I raised my hand. I forget we're on radio.
Which, I liked the mission structure, and there were a lot of missions and moments that were very good, but I've said what I feel on this matter before, but like, I don't actually like the shooties very much. I feel like there's a strange disconnect between my weapon and the thing, and I feel like me and, you know, 14 AI squad mates are going up against, you know, infinitely spawning bad guys, all of whom are aiming at my left eyeball.
Yeah, yeah.
From 400 yards away, even though they can't see me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't like, you know, spawn checkpoints. I don't like spawn gating or anything like that. That's not good. That's very old and lazy and stuff like that. And World of War did that too, but I don't know. Like, and if they didn't want to do it, then that's fine. You know, if they simply said, eh, we didn't want to do it. Like, and they did present the co-op, there is a separate campaign of co-op stuff, which, to be fair, looks a hell of a lot more significant than I thought it was. How many missions is it? Didn't we see a list of, like, how many missions the co-op thingy's going to be?
We did, and it slipped in my mind.
It was like 12?
Yeah, it's big.
It's like 12 or 14 missions?
Yeah,
I was like, what?
Only two players, but...
Yeah, which kind of sucks, but... Whatever their mode is.
Yeah,
they got
those limitations.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's weird to me because Call of Duty games, while they've always had, like, a narrative to them, they've never had, like, great story or character interaction or characters, for that matter. It's not like Uncharted where having a bunch of Nathan Drakes running around would be ridiculous and really destroy the the thing.
Even Halo addressed that issue. It was like, yeah, we don't want a bunch of Master Chief. You can't have the same Master Chief running around, so we diversify those characters and do that. And what was the... Well, and then you can go back to World at War.
Yeah. But, I mean,
like, you don't have a bunch of that certain character running around. You guys see the same cutscenes from the same point of view.
Anytime you're not in control of your character, you're all seeing it from the same POV.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's a military game. Yeah. There's nothing more essentially co-op than a military experience. So, and since they're not really big on characters or characterization, and their storytelling is always just kind of there to move you forward, it's not some great grand thing or anything.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you don't just do it.
I just
spackle over where it doesn't work.
Again, for the very reason that in a co-op campaign, we are not going to trash your shit if I start to see the errors in the narrative because of what broke in co-op. Like, we're not, I swear to God, we're not going to do it. It'll get mentioned on Co-Optimus. I'm sure there will be some metric of, like, how fluidly it was handled. But from my own personal perspective, I thought that World at War did it. It was great, because I was wondering, because I started it single player, and I'm like, damn it, I'm like in this guy. I wonder how it's going to work when we're in co-op, and you and I are playing, and it's like,
oh,
I'm in this guy, where are you? And you're like, well, I'm in this guy. I'm like, wow, we're in the same guy.
I know, I tried to look over and see you.
Yeah, no, we're in the same
guy. Doesn't matter.
Brilliant, simple, unassuming, just fucking did it. And really, they could just fucking do it. And if they wanted to just say, we don't fucking want to do it, fine. But it's like they're trying to give me a reason why. No, no, see, if you look carefully at my reasoning, it's just not possible. And fuck you. It's totally possible. You just didn't want to do it. And I'm not, you know, I'm not going to, it's not going to keep me from buying the game. You know, multiplayer's tight as fucking hell. And I guess I kind of trust that your specific co-op campaign is going to be very good. But more to the point, I will have another four-player co-op option. I will have had my fill of co-op by the time their game comes out. Thank you, Borderlands. For whatever that game might be. Like, the indications right now are that it might be almost entirely devoid of storytelling. But, hey, look, you just got an epic gun, you know, that shoots, you know, rabid squirrels.
I was going to go with badgers. Yeah.
You might be getting close to our everything's a gun idea.
God damn it. I think Randy was already there, possibly.
Yeah, I think also their co-op, the Infinity Ward, those co-op sections will also, while we play it, if it's anything like their multiplayer that they do, it'll just be like, damn it, you're telling me you really couldn't do this?
Yeah.
It'll make us want it even more.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, it's their thing. I don't want to, like, shit on them for it. It just feels like they're going to great lengths to try to prove to me they couldn't really do it without,
and it feels,
you know,
like a smokescreen.
Shattering the veil. And it's like, guys, man, I know what you do. You don't make veils. You know? It's not a beautiful artifice. It's not a finely rendered, filigreed, you know, China monstrosity. It's like, it's fucking game full of shooty bangs. It's nothing but grenades and bullets and wild explosions and 5,000 billion guys aiming at my left eyeball. Like, I know your shit. Quit pulling my fucking leg and give me four player co-op. Whatever, I'll forget about it as soon as I start playing the multi. Which, it's going to be an interesting experience this time. Four, we got the beta. Really, really long look at the game.
Yeah.
Five, it was closer to release, but we still got kind of the same, like, okay, this is what it's all about. We're not really getting, I mean, we obviously know the underlying structure, but we're not going to have any familiarity with the maps or anything like that, so.
No, World at War, I never played the multi in. I never played co-op.
It was,
I did one thing, but it was so borked at the beginning because there were so many exploits, at least on a couple
there
of
really,
maps.
There really were. Really? Like, coming right out of the gate, there were some
nasty, no
nasty
until
exploits.
Until it got patched. And then by the time it got patched, you had your
people really didn't give a shit.
Yeah, well, you also had your people who were just dominating.
Oh, I found that a lot of people just went back to other stuff. Mm-hmm. By the time it got any good, I went back and, like,
I think by the time
I went
it got
back
any,
to Bad Company.
By the time it got any good, everybody was just too enamored playing zombie mode and, like, didn't, you know.
Yeah.
And it was really good.
Which was fun, good. Yeah. I don't know. I can pretty much chart my random pug game / grouping with people on my friends list multiplayer from now till whenever. And I am more interested this time in throwing myself completely into Modern Warfare because Modern Warfare will end for me when Bad Company 2 comes out.
And when does that come out?
You'll have to searchify for the date, but it's in the first.
You expect to get some good time out of it then, huh?
Out of Modern Warfare?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, if you know, I'll play that pretty seriously for a while, but
looking like March of
I think it's like, yeah, that was the thing. I won't be like long term on it. Probably won't even map pack it or anything if they do that. later on, but that's more what I'm really looking at. I've gotten much more long-term enjoyment out of Bad Company.
Okay.
I enjoy their multiplayer so much more. So, and it looks like they're making really significant advances over the first game for their multi.
I never did play Bad Company.
It's good stuff.
So,
good
I'll have to get in on the second one.
God, that shit sounded so good. Holy Christ, it sounded good. It was the best, my opinion, the best sounding military game I've ever played. Like, the sense that, like, this is really what these weapons sound like in an open field or in a forest or in a canyon or inside, stuff like that. And it was very... unlike the way a lot of other games are built, and I mean, know to some degree, everybody, it's really good, but the sound of the weapons was so extremely distinctive that it was very easy to kind of pick out, like, what kinds of things different people were using in different places.
Good.
The soundscape was really, really good. I liked it a lot. I mean, it was a frustrating game sometimes, like, whatever, but you know, the destructible environments, like, gave you some element of strategic gameplay, and the vehicles are really fun, you know, in a Battlefield way.
Did you guys see the leaked bit in the interview that the PS3 is getting cross-game chat in the next firmware update?
I did. That's been kind of dangled in front of us for a while. It would be nice if that would go ahead and drop. One step closer to emulating their peer, which, you know, whatever. They're worse things.
All right. Is there any other news we really need to hit before we move on to the...
Unless you guys have other...
can't think of anything.
I know you were looking forward to Torchlight. It's going to be on Steam.
Yeah.
That's God, you know, right after I kind of get off of this whole thing about, you know, Steam really necessarily shouldn't be the only blah, blah, blah. But whatever. You know, I'm neither here nor there about it. It's... I think the only reason this is particularly different is it's the am I wrong, there were no other distribution options for them? It was just from their website. It was a direct sales kind of thing prior to the arrangement with Steam.
Yes.
And it was already going to show up on Steam, but it was going to be like a month or 6 weeks or something, like after its development or after its release. Now it's like day one and it's pre-orderable and everything, so that's good for them. That's very good because they can use Steam's, like, it's a good way for them to promote it, I guess. That's the best thing about it. Promotion, pre-order, get them some good numbers, get them, like, awareness and get people interested in it. I'm all the fuck over it.
Okay. Are you still going to be able to buy it from their website?
Yes.
Outside of Steam? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, on to the tweets.
Tweets.
All right, we had a lot of tweets about leading up about, you know, can't find the show. We fixed that problem. We're sorry about that problem. We're not exactly sure what that problem was.
I think I tagged it wrong when I was doing my part of the upload.
But needless to say, we got that fixed. So Dark Lord James comes in and says, "Wow, Dust514 is looking pretty hot." He's referencing what was released this past week was...
which was something we'd already seen.
Well, we'd already seen it. We'd seen the like a shaky cam type version of it.
No, I'd seen what I saw. I swear to God. Now, it wasn't a shaky cam. I saw that shit somewhere. I don't know where. Maybe somebody just had like a really, really great handheld cam version of it or something. But
yeah,
it was not a bad version. I saw something pretty good somewhere, so I don't know. But yes, it's something we had already seen. It was the official release of it.
Yes.
Which... you know, it was canned. Like, it's kind of supposed to give you a sense of things. But I agree with the "it looks like Killzone 2" kind of stuff.
Didn't do bad, actually.
No, actually, if more things looked like Killzone 2, the world would be a better place. Fuck me, that game is pretty.
Yeah.
Holy shit. You weren't here when I was talking about having beaten it, but fucking Christ. Like, brown.
Yeah, I was gonna say, not pretty in the sense that it's got a lot of color.
No, but like, there were times when I was astonished at how well rendered that world was. Oh my God, fucking damn it! Like, when the PS3 is just doing what the PS3 does, it's really fucking good at it. It's way better at it than the Xbox is. That train, goddamn train sequence. Fucking great. Anyway.
Nabokov fan says, people always say you should build a PC, but I want to ask Scott and everyone, why did you fall out of it and why not build one? And he adds, if it's because of the whole keeping up with the hardware, I get it, but you really don't have to, and cost is 25% of what it was.
Well, okay. I mean, I have fallen out of it several times and then gotten back into it. It's always the hardware thing. It's not like every now and then you got to upgrade your video card and then maybe buy another, put some more RAM in or something like that. It's that with increasing frequency, your entire core has to change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when you, everybody I know that always fell out for any significant period of time, it's when they hit a core change.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you had to
replace your motherboard CPU and video card and RAM.
All of it together. Mm-hmm. So in one chunk, you're looking at, you know.
Yeah, this last one, the one I stopped at last, I had a P4.
Yeah.
And, you know, now that I'm, you know, looking at putting another one together, it's, you know, I remember back then, it was like if you were going up, you were going up to PCI Express, which means you couldn't even carry over your video card.
Yep.
It wasn't just motherboard CPU and RAM. It was motherboard CPU, RAM, and video card.
And because it's PCI Express, meant most likely, if you're coming from
a new power supply. Yeah.
So, and because those cards were so much bigger, there was a good possibility that you weren't carrying over your old case.
Mm.
You know? Like, and on and on and on.
Yeah.
It was kind of like when everybody moved to the PS3 and the 360 and also had to buy HDTVs.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? It was that same reluctant step because it was so big.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it always happens. It's not the constant cycle. It's the abrupt, you know, punctuated enormity of...
I got to get a whole new rig.
Yeah. I have also known people to fall out when that particular thing coincides with a lull in meaningful PC gaming.
Yeah, there was that for me. And there was also that I had been working at the Shakespeare Festival for a while and sat in front of LCDs. And I'd go back home and sit in front of that CRT.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to bother me more and more and more. And... also remember there was, you know, my rig had like kind of a high-pitched whine,
mm-hmm.
you know, from all the fans whirring and all this other stuff. And, you know, there was all the fans running at the Shakespeare place. So I'd get home and sit in front of that and like my ears would be ringing.
Yeah.
You know how loud it was in that booth. And all that stuff would get it going again. And I couldn't sleep for at least an hour after I got off of my PC. And finally I was like, I can't even sit in front of this thing anymore. So it got really bad, and I just had to get away from it.
Yeah. I will say, though...
And it was the perfect time to get a 360.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say, though, and this is why I kind of am putting more pressure on it myself, I think his statement is very appropriate, because I think this is a really quite... All right, on the one hand, I do want to say that anytime you talk about PC upgrading, somebody will always tell you, no, 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 just wait, you know, and in another blah, blah, blah months, and that value is usually between 3 and 6,
mm-hmm.
something or other is coming out that, you know, makes the whatever it is irrelevant, and but whatever, fuck it. Something is always coming out in 6 months.
Yep.
That's why they're cool. That's how they've always been. Every 3 to 6 months for the last... 30 years, some new meaningful thing for that slot that you're talking about right now
mm-hmm.
is coming out. So fuck it. Just go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You might get fucked at a bad time. You might, you know, whatever. Which is more likely to happen with, you know, some product like an Apple computer because they don't like to talk about their shit.
Yeah.
You know, I've known people that have bought their shit like 2 days before they released the LED displays.
Yeah, yeah.
That had to go back and like... You know,
like, yeah, we know. Here you go.
Sorry. But with PC stuff, it's kind of open and well-known in advance and all
right,
this other
right.
stuff. So. But this is a very good time. Like, it is a very good time for PC gaming, if you don't mind waiting a week for everything you want to play. You know? But it is a good time. There are lots of good things. If you can swallow any sort of objections you may have to the fact that some PC games seem like ports of console games, which I think is less true. I think they're more alike, you know, one to the other than one being a port of the other. But that's not worth a discussion either. An almost infinity of independent, creative-type games out there. This is like what we were talking about before. Like, one of the reasons, like, you were not here, but we were talking about, you know, maybe we need to diversify a little and go in some different directions.
I saw some
like
of the
that.
Comments about that. That was
yeah.
fun.
And you know, what I came down on was, like, with a console, you really can only diversify so much. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, and you can do a good deal, particularly with PSN and Live Arcade and all mm-hmm. these other things and the community games and all this. It's good stuff, but the PC just has, like, an immeasurably deep well for diversification mm-hmm. and interesting different shit. And now is a very, very good time to partake of that sort of stuff, and the PC is the place to do it. So, I agree. I'm with you. I think everybody in the room actually would like to be rolling with a PC again, but it's also, it's not easy. It's hundreds yeah. and hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Yep.
So, it's difficult to do.
Yeah.
Dark Lord James came back in and said, well, he made us aware of the problems, or not the problems, but made us aware that our problems with Dead Space Extraction,
our oversights,
were something we could actually take
yeah.
care of.
The active reload,
the active
and,
reload
the,
and the adjustment of the shaky cam.
Yeah.
So he made us aware of that, and then
you
asked
saw
us,
that other shit though that he put in there.
What? That we're gonna have to
no.
game flight again?
No. Never mind. Oh, actually, maybe who the fuck was it that put the cool thing in there?
It was Kyrie.
Oh, it was Kyrie that put the cool thing in there. I mean, not that. No, I'm just saying.
Mozambique.
What?
Is that what you're talking? Okay, no. Maybe not.
I'm the only one that saw it.
Maybe.
Maybe if you tell us what you're talking
yeah.
about.
No, it's more fun for me to like try to get Scott to figure it out.
All right, we'll get to it.
And then get angry at him when he's like this.
Ravenlock says that FYI, since James is interested in Torchlight, Immortal Machines is talking to the devs
yes.
and giving away.
Yes, I wanted to mention that. I figured yeah. you'd go over that on the.
I almost brought that
up
when you started mentioning Torchlight.
No. Yeah, I wanted to get to that eventually. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's really good.
There's a whole thread.
I hope
for people to
I hope everybody tunes into that because mm-hmm. there's more to Torchlight than Torchlight. There's a future involved with that, and it's something that I think a lot of us would like to see realized.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Lord James goes back. Does this mean we're going to have to game fly it again? Yes.
Absolutely.
We are.
Didn't game fly it the first time, though. We got it from our local, which means you can probably get it a lot sooner this time.
Mm-hmm. Extremo says in game chat, speaking of swapping control schemes, try COD 4 and Vegas 2. Ducking in COD 4 is the grenade button.
Yeah.
In Vegas 2, grenade
button. Bet your ass, my
yeah.
friend.
Yeah.
I've been fucking snake bit by that shit
mm-hmm.
so bad sometimes. Holy cow.
I was doing it in ODST, man.
Yeah, I believe I went from playing Vegas 1
yes,
with
we
you
did.
Guys
to
COD,
COD
4. And
we all specifically mm-hmm. had that problem because we got together, all started playing together like that spring, that
yeah.
summer. And so everybody got into Vegas 1.
Everybody picked up Vegas 1 because it was really cheap because 2 had just come out.
Yep. And we were playing that together, and then COD 4 came out, and
uh-huh.
we were so invested in the Vegas control scheme. Yeah. Every
yep.
time I tried to duck, man, like going back the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very bad. That's some very bad crosstalk
yeah.
of your control scheme.
Blowed me up a lot.
Yes, yes. Well, because that actually led us into another discussion about why isn't this shit almost completely remappable?
Mm-hmm.
Something
yeah.
something as arbitrary as B throws a grenade and, you know, Y does whatever. Like, I'm not asking you to let me remap my sticks necessarily to
mm-hmm.
do exactly what I want, but I just can't change the mapping of two fucking buttons or something. Like, this
yeah.
is absurd. It's absurd that I can't do that. It's still absurd. And that was a huge reason for that discussion, those two games.
Explosion
so,
Man lets you map all your explode buttons.
Yeah, it does. Let me tell you, it makes all the difference in the
world. All right.
Kyrie basically sent us a joke. So I will read that joke as fast as I can. But send it to us. It's a picture joke. This thing. Did you see this?
No.
Okay.
No.
You can click on the link. Though.
Whatever you.
Here we go.
as fast as he can.
Yeah. Due to the rising frequency of human line encounters, the Ministry of Fish and Wildlife Mozambique is advising hikers, hunters, fishermen, and any motorcyclists that use the outdoors in a recreational or work-related function to take extreme precautions while in the bush. We advise the outdoorsmen to wear little noisy bells on clothing so as to give advanced warning to any lions that might be close by so you don't take them by surprise. We also advise anyone using the out-of-doors to carry pepper spray with him or her in case of an encounter with a lion. Outdoorsmen should also be on the watch for fresh lion activity and be able to tell the difference between lion cub shit and big lion shit. Lion cub shit is smaller and contains lots of berries and fur. Big lion shit has bells in it and smells like pepper. Enjoy your stay in Mozambique. There's the joke. Proving again that if you send us anything, I'll probably read it.
Yeah.
Swap Peanut says, holy crap, guys, on 30 Rock, you're eating hot dogs wrapped in pizza. The Fishbang Taco episode made it to prime time.
I still don't know what the fuck he's talking about, but I read that. I was like, what the fuck?
That's fine. Let's find
out. Fucking people doing stuff I already did. God damn it.
And a late tweet from Track Zero says, get back to work, Act 2, chop chop, which apparently you tweeted with your iPhone probably during the break.
Yeah.
James has an iPhone now. He's going to tweet the shit out of the shows, and that's fine.
Yep.
He would never do it any other way, but he gets an iPhone.
Yeah, like, fuck off.
Social. He's doing it right now.
Yep. Why don't you talk about some stuff that's interesting?
All right, on to the emails.
Or those. I'm just being an asshole. You guys don't deserve that.
Paul Morissette writes in and says, greetings from Australia.
I love Australia.
Hey guys, Paul from Australia here. Hope you're doing well. You guys discuss TV shows, movies kind of often, so I thought I'd write in with a question or two, even if they aren't game-related. I heard you guys talk Dollhouse before. Glad you're back, Jeremy. You can address this. So I was wondering if any of you have been watching Season 2. I agree that the end of Season 1 really got my hopes up for Season 2. That skip forward in time final episode was the best of the season. And I was hoping they'd continue that kind of form. So far, I think they haven't started off as badly as Season 1 did. But unfortunately, I don't feel like they've carried the momentum from where they left off. I'd be interested to know your opinion, if you have one.
Yeah, I agree. And you really couldn't start off worse than they started Season 1. But Season 2, it's going good, but he's absolutely right. It didn't deliver on the end of Season 1. It's as good as Season 2 was towards the end, but Season 1 ended with such a, you know, grand huzzah that, like, you got really excited about what was coming next, and, like, they haven't really delivered on that. So it's good. I'm going to keep watching it. But yeah, I agree completely.
All right, this next one's for you and James. Also, I know a few of you guys are Stargate fans, and Universe has, of course, just started. Any of you guys watching it? And if so, what do you think? I had read interviews with the producers saying they wanted to make Stargate more accessible to a wider audience, and I was worried this was going to be Stargate defying gravity. However, so far I've been pleasantly surprised. I like the cast and the setting, and I'm interested to see where it goes. With the series being set entirely on board an alien craft, I wonder if it meets your spaceship porn requirements. As usual, keep up the good work. Paul Morissette.
I'm still waiting to watch it. I've got the episodes sitting there, and I'll probably... Well, I probably won't watch them this weekend because I've got two games to play. But James has watched them.
I have watched one.
Watched one, okay.
Yeah, and this is what happens, right? Let me tell you about a bad thing that happened. Dana went out of town for a while, so she had a lot of shit on the TiVo, a lot of homework to do. And, like... There's somehow things become stuff we have to watch together, and I really just want to watch it. Me, I want to watch it so I can get it watched. Mm-hmm. I watched, you know, and she was gone, and I was like, well, this is horse crap. I'm just going to watch some stuff, and she can be pissed about it when she gets back or not. And she wasn't, but she was pretty insistent that I couldn't move on to the next thing until she'd watched it. So she watched about half of the first of the pilot. Mm-hmm. For SGU, and, you know, fell asleep or something, and then I kept being like, can we watch, like, Stargate Universe, because I got, like, you know, episodes there to watch. She's like, oh, I gotta finish the pilot, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, do it. She's like, well, I hate it. And I'm like, well, can I fucking watch the show? Well, just let me finish the thing. Grrr! Fuck! So, I wish I had a better opinion of it, because I think the pilot ends in a place where they're about to start doing what will define the show. I don't think the pilot at all
represents the show.
Represents the show, because it the literal ending of the show is kind of what I imagine the primary device for storytelling is going to be. They did some stuff in the pilot that I did not like. Don't like the characters very much. Stargate itself was always kind of... it was cheesy, and it fucking knew it was cheesy. And they understood that, and they didn't take themselves too seriously. And there were a lot of things they would go off and do that I didn't, you know, really like.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of what made the old Stargate work is not possible in this show. So, at the moment, I'm very intrigued by it, because it's taking some of the very, very basic rules of Stargate, but doing entirely different shit. Just entirely different. And that, after so many goddamned years of Stargate,
mm-hmm.
and two essentially epic fucking failures of endings...
yeah.
Like, I'm really interested to see what somebody with an entirely new take on it can be. Despite the fact that, you know, my inner snob wants to just sneer at them for doing Stargate Galactica.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to refrain, you know, like, because I like Robert Carlyle, even if he's doing sort of a shitty Gaius Baltar impression. You know, like, whatever. And if it's, like, too young, you know, it's a little bit mm-hmm. young, and I take issue with that, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. I don't give a shit. Like, I'm gonna watch it, and yeah, man, big giant spaceship, like, I have to love it. I have no choice. You're very right. It does satisfy my ship porn. So, yes. But by the time we record next time, I will try to include more, like, something, a little something more specific, because I'll just tell Dana to hush. And I'm just going to watch the new episodes.
Shut up, woman! He said, P.S., you guys say you always get things late because you live in a backwater. Well, I feel
yeah.
like I live in Australia. Moon only came out here this week.
Oh, yeah, sorry, man. You guys really do. You guys are tough. Like, you're some tough motherfuckers down there.
Let's see. Tacitus wrote us. Said, congrats to Jeremy. James, you have captured my thoughts on Dragon Age as well. It's sad. I really want it to be great and do great, but every time I see anything on it, it just doesn't look very good, and part of my mind is whispering Hellgate London for some odd reason.
Yeah.
Regarding Valve, the main problem with Valve is not conflict of interest as a developer, but Steam's dominance in the digital distribution arena. At this time, their direct competitors are jokes or little better than jokes with significant flaws. In the future, Gabe will no longer be around, and really bad things will probably ensue as the new owners start to milk it, and then exploitation of smaller devs will really happen. Spinning off Steam will do nothing to prevent this. I personally think Randy Pitchford is having some other unstated personal issues with Valve and Steam and decided to mouth off about exploitation. For another view of Valve's business practices, John Gibson of Tripwire, where he kind of calls BS on the exploitation issue. Send us a link for that.
A number of people have, mm-hmm. actually, since that story popped up.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that's fine, and for what it's worth, Randy's clearly, like, off in his own corner on this whole thing, which is probably, you know, he's no stranger to that. But
well, I think we can kind of sympathize with off in your own corner on some issues.
And, like, trying to make a point and maybe just completely missing your own point.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I think what it amounts to is they're doing a damn good job. There really is the reason that all their competitors are jokes. Because mind share, market share, like, the workings of the individual deal. Everybody is basically a winner, except for those people that, like, want to play their games without being connected to the internet. Which, yeah. You know, oh well, like, because we take connectivity for granted, mm-hmm. basically. But I think at the end of all of it, it's just fair to say, like, aren't we supposed to have a natural distrust for somebody with this much dominance in any one market? whatever the specifics might be, can't we just sort of back off of the individual complaints and say, I've got a weird feeling about this? Like, somehow that feels legitimate to me. Mm-hmm. I know that we should be able to bring specific evidence, which we can't really. Everybody seems really pleased. But by the same token, would anybody in a relationship with Valve who isn't pleased necessarily sort of jump up right now and talk about how they're not pleased? I don't think so. I'm not saying anybody's being gagged at all. Certainly not. And that if they did speak up, that Valve would do anything bad about it. I'm just saying I can't, you know, I attack this company and the way that they treat the people they're in a relationship with. And then the people they're in a relationship with all chime up and say, no, everything's great. It's all fine. It's all wonderful here. Good. Yeah, it's all great. Like, I also have to have a natural distrust for that because, you know,
yeah,
relationships and stuff. So it's great. Fuck, I'm going to buy a bunch of Valve shit this holiday season. So I got no personal stake one way or the other. Well, I guess I do. I like the concept of digital delivery of great games. So not quite as picky about the thing as you are, but that's Jeremy, but that's, it's cool. It'll come up again. It will come up again because he makes a good point about what happens when none of the same faces are there.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Which will ultimately
become
a reality.
And that's something that's always been in the back of my mind. I have a natural distrust for anything where, you know, someone else holds the keys over the things I've purchased.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're a benevolent dictator, eventually they're going to be replaced by somebody else. Will they be as benevolent? I don't know. A lot of people just don't worry about that. I don't know.
Nothing wrong with worrying about it ahead of time.
Worry about it, yeah.
And that may be what he was pitching.
And like I said, you know, I've had some issues playing my games offline, mostly because, you know, I you know, want to run my shit and wine under Linux, and like it doesn't understand that, you know, the network connection isn't there, so it tries to connect and it can't, and I can't play. And like if I think ahead enough and tell it to go into offline mode, it usually works, but then something can fuck up and I can't play, even though I thought ahead about it. So like it's you know, bitten me enough times, I don't care to deal with it if I can avoid it. If I can buy it direct from them on their website and just have it, I'll do that. If I can't, you know, if it's a Valve thing, then yeah, I'm not going to not play it. I'm not, you know, going to be obstinate about it. I'll buy things through Steam. I just, given the option, I'd rather not. So, but it's fine that everybody else does too.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anybody's looking to topple Steam here.
No.
I think the best possible thing would be like, let's have more Steams.
Yeah.
You know, with obvious differences from company to company. This isn't about Steam is bad and we need less of what they're doing.
Right.
It's more about, can we please get more of what they're doing, but in the hands of other people?
Mm-hmm.
At least that's kind of how I feel about it. So.
All right, next email from Julian Allen says, hey guys, just listen to the thoughts on Dead Space Extraction. I agree with a large amount of what has been said, but would like to add the following comments in response to some of the observations. The shaky cam effect can be very frustrating, as James mentioned. However, there's control to reduce this in the...
What?
There's a control to reduce this in the options.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Dude, I feel stupid, guys. I feel really fucking stupid.
We've had, like, I don't know, three different people tell us. Yeah. You can change that.
I don't know. It's a Wii game. How the fuck am I supposed to know how to change the options in a Wii game?
Alarmingly, the default level of shakiness is somewhere in the center of the scale, and I can only imagine that ramping it up would leave you playing like a caffeine-addicted, sugar-crashing, diabetic Parkinson's victim.
Or a Michael Bay movie.
Yeah.
On the matter of slow reloads, there's a version of the Gears of War active reload system which allows instantaneous clip replacement when timed correctly.
I have no idea. Sorry, I have no idea.
Popping caps gangster style while using just the Wiimote is both uncomfortable and makes it difficult to maintain any accuracy. I don't even get a zapper add-on and don't intend to buy one for the sake of this game. We don't either. We looked.
Yeah, we looked at them. And our eyes kind of lingered on the little thing. We're like, this would be, this would,
this might work.
This would work.
It's just
work. And then we walked away.
Yeah, we did.
After we messed around.
I think our listeners are having a lot of fun, like, proving to you you're wrong about something. Hey, you're wrong.
I'm
going to
go
right
back
here.
And,
that's really obvious.
I'm going to go back and take another look at it. I don't think I'm wrong.
You got a bad copy. That's
I did that. Yeah, that version didn't have an option screen.
I can just imagine that there's a lot of people out there who like take issue with things you say, but since it's like a subjective point of view, most of the time they can't like just.
Oh,
say
I
you're wrong.
Dude, if you pay attention to how I talk, I cover my ass all over the place. I really do. I disclaimer the shit out of what I say.
Overall, I've been very impressed with the game, though. Graphically, it is one of the most accomplished titles on the platform. It also has the rare distinction of being amongst only a few games that were strong enough to drag my attention away from the 360. My first experience of the game was in co-op, and we played through the first three chapters. It works well and is good fun, but can be a bit busy with both players zipping about the screen trying to grab everything with the telekinesis. We kind of already went over that.
Yeah.
One thing I particularly enjoyed was a sense of familiarity with the locations, having spent so much time in there previously as Isaac. One big problem I have with the game is that I have now finished my first playthrough.
Previously.
I did not play it on the hardest difficulty, and I did not collect everything that could be found in every level. The problem is, I don't know if the pull is strong enough for me to go back through it again unless it's as enjoyable a piece of co-op fun when friends are over. Yes, it is. This is probably a comment on both the nature of the game as well as my now ingrained achievement-whoring tendencies. What's in it for me? I'll get no gamer points for playing it again. That said, there's always the challenge mode if I just fancy shooting some lumbering uggos in the face with a rivet gun. Keep up the good work, Jules.
That was good. I agree on all points.
Yeah. And let's see, Iron Past wrote us in, and I'm not going to say his name anymore, but Iron Past wrote us in because he starts talking to us about his job, and I don't want to get him in trouble if ever I could. Hey guys, first, yes, I was the one who told you about Toys R Us, though I'm not sure how accurate that was since I've seen some used games pop up on their website. I don't have any inside track or big interest in business. I just try to keep my ear to the ground, and sometimes it's in the right places. On a side note, I'm with James in that I couldn't bullshit anyone who came into the store and had a set rule that the first time I was written up for bad sales numbers, I'd turn in my 2 weeks. Our manager was fired a few months ago, and they never bothered to get another one to us, so it turns out I don't have to worry about it much. I thought it was criminal that Operation Flashpoint 2 was never pushed in any kind of promotional aspect. Side note, that's a game I still want to play. Yet when it came out, it was by far the most requested game in a long time. Serves them right that they missed all the sales since our store had stopped receiving new shipments by them, but it shows how out of touch the higher-ups still are. Also, another bad financial decision that it turns out Hollywood Entertainment can't absorb is owning the landlord for our building $30,000. The Hollywood Video, and by extension our store, received a very impromptu closing earlier today. It's okay, though, because they had to write off the entire store. Both
That's a lot
of
back rent. $30,000,
yes. Yeah.
Man.
I
don't think I've ever had a landlord that would let me slide to $30,000.
He said they wrote off the entire store, both sides of it, as a total loss after the police officers locked the door, which means no one's looking for the DSi Nintendo sent the store that I've been borrowing. My main point had nothing to do with that, but I was listening to another version of the one game on a deserted island thing this morning and had an interesting thought. I realized I wouldn't want an RPG or Tetris or something like that. I'd want something like Ninja Gaiden 2. Perk up there, RJ.
RJ's nodding his head. He woke up.
Why? That motherfucker was hard, but if I had all the time in the world, I could devote all of it to learning and mastering every single combo and weapon. And once I got good enough to get through the game without getting hit, I'd be an old man with the best reflexes ever. It would also look super cool. My question to you is, what game specifically would you want in a situation like that? But what genre, is not what game, but what genre do you think you would want? My genre is puzzles. So easy, hard, it wouldn't matter in that situation, because then...
I read that and I was thinking about that earlier, and I have to go the same way. I'd have to go puzzles.
I mean, I like puzzle games anyway, but mm-hmm. I'm still not done with the first Professor Layton. Yeah.
Anything with a... with a story, with a start and an end, like, I think I'd be pretty done with playing through it, 15 times or so. So if it was the only game, I'm stranded with and I have to keep playing, I'd want something with, like, a pretty big difficulty slider and puzzles that I can just keep puzzling away at. Maybe even something like chess, so that if I ever get rescued and come back, I can, be amazing at chess.
That shit gives me nightmares. puzzle games on an island. It's like, I already can't go anywhere, and I'm trapped on this island, so why don't I play something that simulates, you know, like, limited space and, like, drives me to a point of insanity simply trying to solve the same bullshit puzzles over and over again. I would need escapism.
Yeah.
And the best, like, free-form overall escapism that I can possibly think of that, you know, doesn't obviously, you know, I'm not going to say, well, I'm in MMORPG, and then I just, you know, file a ticket with the GM and tell him I'm stuck on an island. Probably a flight sim. A civilian flight sim. Microsoft Flight Sim.
That's,
you know,
a good
with,
one.
Like, a lot of, yeah. Maybe, like, you know, the whole world to play in. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, place to place, thing to thing. Massive, massive range of difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
From essentially arcade all the way up to pure simulation. So I think I could probably get the most mileage out of that. Desert island or not, as a matter of fact. If I had to just simply reduce myself to one game in one genre, flight sim would probably be pretty good.
It's pretty good.
RJ?
You just give me a fighting title, 2D or 3D, doesn't matter. Give me a big roster, and I just probably take the time just using and learning every character in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What fighting game does have the biggest roster? Do you know?
Marvel Capcom 2, off the top of my head, I'm thinking that there's 56 characters in that game.
And then there's those versions I see on YouTube that have, like, fucking Peter Griffin fighting Optimus Prime or whatever.
The Mugen stuff?
Yes. Mugen. I was trying to figure out what the name was. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, do we want to go to our voicemails, or you want me to hit some of the posts we had in our last show?
Yes.
Okay. Kyrie had a comment on us branching out and trying to do other things, and said, I haven't had a chance to listen to the whole episode yet, but I got a few comments regarding the branching out. One of the things that makes your podcast good is that you guys tend to be passionate about what you talk about. There are a lot of gaming podcasts whose members play a bunch of different games just for the purpose of talking about them, and it's pointless because they spend less time on the games that they really like and can't provide any meaningful comments on a bunch of different games they only played for a short amount of time. When you play games for a podcast and not for yourself, it only makes the podcast worse. I know you guys weren't really talking about going that far, but that was just a word of warning. Everyone likes to hear you guys talk about stuff that they played themselves, but I think you guys are really diverse as it is, and you're also really good at providing different points of views, which is something that's really great in my opinion. If I don't agree with something you guys said, you probably have acknowledged other ways of seeing it. Since a listener can't chime in during conversations, and we miss that, by the way, that stuff's awesome. Anyway, if you guys are going out of your way to have more stuff to talk about, I think you should try to play more stuff in unison. It's great when a lot of you have played the same thing, so you can talk more at length about it. Also, I like your comments on news, and they lead to funny tangents. More news. So there was that. Also, let's see. King's Goon, James responded to King's Goon about the fact that the PSP actually does have...
Yeah, that was a big minor point. And
a big minor point?
Yeah. I only had a couple of minor points of things that I thought were flaws in the PSP.
Okay.
Like, and that was basically one of the big ones, because in something that is supposed to be, and something that I'm going to say is, like, I like the PSP because I think it's pushing the...
Specifically?
Yeah, the Go, okay. Sorry. It's actually trying to be what I think a handheld mobile gaming system should be. You know, say what you will, man, I don't fucking want discs or little carts in my thing. I love the idea that it's all on there. Mm-hmm. I know the regular PSP can do it, but again, I find the complaints about the lack of UMD support only to be valid for people that already have UMDs, which are people who already have PSPs who also aren't me. So,
on a log in the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, right. So, like, but I'd read, I swear to God, I think I read it in the Ars review where they were saying, you know, it's insane. Like, you should be able to just slap it shut. And because it's shut and unplayable, it should just know and go to sleep. But it didn't. Apparently it does. And that was a huge drawback for me. I was like, well, you're not acting like a perfect little mobile device.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because it may sound stupid, but, like, there are times, man, like, you're sitting there doing some bullshit on your DSi or, your DS.
And something happens.
Something happens that quick. Slap it shut and throw it in your pocket in, like, 2 seconds. And it's worry-free. That's great. and that there was an indication that the PSP Go didn't do that, it was annoying. You know, it was like, they should do that, you know? And it does do that, but it's...
The trick is, it doesn't do that out of the box.
It doesn't do it by default. It's a feature that has to be enabled, which is redonkulous.
Yeah. Dirt-da-dur.
But the fact that it is a feature, that's big. That's big. Like, I'm basically to the point of... I don't know if I'm going to count the price against it necessarily, because I still think, like, even though Sony kind of admitted that it was, like, a sex tax, you know, like, look how awesome this thing is, we're just going to charge you more money for it.
Mm-hmm.
I still can't... I don't know. It's a completely different physical format. Like, yeah, I don't know what it costs to make that. So, leaving that aside, the only real design decision that I found as a negative was the shoulder button. It's just very clear that there's no room for your fingers because the screen slides up and kind of, you know, finger blocks you off the shoulder buttons. So that's something I quoted as a real detraction of the system. Turns out not to be. That's fucking great.
Yeah. It's just, and Spigot brought this up in his replies, it seems really silly that you have to turn that off.
That should be the default behavior.
Yeah, it should be the option to have it turned off.
The game's unplayable when you do that.
Yeah.
Like, it should pause and go
to
sleep.
I don't understand that standard of why that would even. I don't get that.
I don't know. But if it is something that can be enabled and then it just acts that way, then I know it seems like a minor thing, but that's the behavior I want to see when you change the design of your system to go in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
Internal storage, save states, which is. Seriously, like, a much bigger deal for me than I guess it would be for a lot of people. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great stuff. I like it. I like the damn thing. Like, I may end up with one at some point. I don't dislike it at all. So.
Nabokov responded to our diversifying as well. He said, I'm going to be quite honest here. Please take this to heart. I heard Scott talk about how he wants to diversify the show, and I just thought to myself, does he not listen to other shows? And I don't. I listen to hours of podcasts a day, 90% of them being gaming related. It's hard for me to think of a podcast that has a more off the beaten path approach to gaming. The main thing, as Kyrie was saying, most other shows spend an hour or so playing a game and say it's good or it's bad and mention one actual useful nugget of knowledge. Or it's a podcast with 2 hours of what you've been playing and it drives me nuts. You all don't need to change a thing. As you say all the time, you just talk and hit record, and I think that's why the show does so well. It isn't about the dream of making it big. You really like to. it's just about four people or more who just happen to get together and talk about how such and such is complete crap and give honest opinions and recollections of experiences instead of blanket statements that I hear on 10 other shows. I mean this when I say it. Scott, don't worry about a thing. Thank you. Thank you to everybody who's replied to all of this and given us great, you know, comments about the show. Spigot says, I don't really expect the guys to diversify the show and water down the concentrated goodness that we all love. My only wish would be for someone on the team to play a few more of the kind of odd games I like. Spigot, you're on an island by yourself, man. Some of these games you put in your column, which we love the column, Turning the Spigot. It's on every, it comes out every Sunday on COG. And he just finds these little old obscure titles.
Yeah, a lot of them I remember playing.
And then, yeah. Well, you did your own little Spigot thing with Dexter not too long ago.
Well, if you want to call it that.
I'd never heard of it.
Oh,
and immediately
Dexter.
When I watched it and saw, wait a second, it transforms.
It transforms, man. Like, back then, that was the closest thing I had to a Transformers game. I pretended that was a Transformers game.
Did you make the noise?
Probably.
Dude. I know you did.
I'm sure.
Because I ran around making the noise at shit that didn't even transform.
I've got to time it with the toast pops out of the toaster. There we go. But he said, my only wish, some of the odd games I like. I'm moving to Alabama so I can talk about JRPGs on the show. I responded and said, please let us come to you. Let's see. Count Elmdor says, Scott says he doesn't like JRPGs. Then he goes and spit-shines Mario and Luigi for like 10 minutes. You just had to find the right one, my man. It's unfortunate that Game Crazy has mismanaged themselves into the corner that they're in, but that's business. I'll have to kind of disagree with James and say that I don't see why I should ever pre-order a game, especially not at a retail chain where all they sell is video games. I can see if it's a mom-and-pop store in the middle of Arkansas, where I went to college, and the game in question is like Shin Megami, whatever Japanese.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I can't pronounce the shit.
God, that shit's fucking printed over 2/3 of the internet. It's not even Japanese anymore. It's reprinted over here. God damn it, Scott. Just keep reading.
It's... You know, it's tough love. That's what it is. Japanese Persona 7, the emulsifying. Short of that, there's no tenable reason why I would ever pre-order. It's a faulty business model, and the business that, to the exclusion of other models, live by it can also die by it or adopt standard practices used by retailers of books, music, and what have you. I look at GameStop primarily when I say this, but it's applicable to other places as well. Halo 3 ODST is not a heat shield for a catalytic converter, so why the need to special order it like one? I do my best not to shop at places that bug you to pre-order, and I wouldn't want to work for one either. There are tons of places to buy games. Local mom and pop. Not for us.
Yeah, not at all. There are not tons of places to buy games for us.
A big box store or just the internet. As for work, I'd recommend job waiting tables or as a cook over retail any day of the week.
Yeah, well.
Let's respond.
Okay, A. Yeah, no shit, man. Like, working in retail was not like what you'd call like a normal kind of choice. It was a... You know, the economy was run off the cliff by a bunch of fucking lemmings sort of choice. So, whatever. Also, I've said this before, and I feel like I'm always trying to make my point about pre-orders. First off, it's that I don't think there's any fucking hoodoo surrounding pre-orders. I've worked in enough of these places to know that the pre-order itself does them no good. They tap dance on you about it because what they really do want is for the pre-order to turn into a sale. They want you to pressure for the pre-order so that you then pressure for the sale. But the I've never seen anything that indicates that the pre-order itself is doing one bit of good. So, I don't know. We have no mom and pops. We have nothing but basic, you know, GameStop and like Best Buy around here. I would rather shop at a place like GameStop because there's like, you know, I don't know, like 8 or 9 to choose from in the greater, like the Tri-County area around here, which means it's possible, it's likely that I can find one of them with, they all have such a small number of employees that I can pick and choose which one I like based on the employees that work there. And because I was one at some point, I know that some of them have employees that just don't give two shits for the rules, who are more interested in games, and that's why they work there, because that's where the games are. So I can create a relationship with those people, which means sometimes you get extra shit, sometimes you get good conversations, like, and there's somebody that just cares about video games. At a big box store, it's simply not the case. And, yeah, I'll buy off the internet if it's something that's downloaded directly to my hard drive. I don't buy off the internet for discs. I don't like it. I want my games when I want them. I know that that's so very last century of me, but it's kind of a thing. Like, if I want to buy a physical game, I just want to go pick it up. I don't really want to have it shipped and be a day later or anything. I just want to go pick it up. But, and the other guys in the show would feel free, like, I would appreciate if you would chime in your own opinions on this. Like, I'm not a big pre-order guy or anything, but I know that beyond whatever the fuck GameStop cares about it, beyond how it operates as a function of a business model, I know that the publishers have care more and more and more as time goes on about pre-order numbers. They are making important decisions about the future of games, like based on their pre-order numbers, usually new IPs. Call of Duty, like Modern Warfare 2, like, doesn't matter if it pre-orders another 100 bazillion copies. Like, its future is already set. But, like we've done a lot, referencing back to last year, to Dead Space and Mirror's Edge, if those games hadn't proved to have really long legs in the market, they were already on very shaky ground based on the fact that nobody fucking pre-ordered them. Nobody knew what they were. They didn't pre-order them. They didn't sell good out of the gate. It looked like a shit investment at first to EA. So my thinking is, knowing that the publishers are so fucking froggy about this whole situation, so willing to make snap decisions, and are trending towards making those decisions earlier and earlier in the life cycle of this risk, like, if I'm going to buy it, if I know it's something I'm already going to spend my money on, I would like to pre-order it. It's $5 that will go toward the purchase that I'm already going to make and will count to, I know, some statistically insignificant degree, but will count toward a positive future for that game. You know, it's not a big deal, and I'm not saying it's... I sure as hell would never suggest that you need to pre-order based on scarcity. Like, and I'm pretty sure we pointed out the fact that that's complete horseshit.
Mm-hmm.
That they will have you, oh God, you know, we don't have a whole lot of, you know, they might cut off pre-orders for Fight Night Round 4 any minute, blah, 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 blah. You know, fuck you, you've got 800 of them behind your counter. That's bullshit. That's corporate bullshit that I don't agree with. They're trying to lie to people to get them to buy stock that they've already purchased.
Well, in any time I've ever gone to a GameStop, and there's been things I hadn't pre-ordered, and I decided I was going to pick it up when it came out.
Yeah.
And I went in there sometime, and they shook their finger at me. I didn't pre-order it. We don't have any. And I, you know, go across straight to Best Buy and pick it up.
Yeah, it's not a... It's and with them, it... And sometimes at GameStop specifically, it'll be a scarcity issue just because they don't want to dedicate those.
Depending on the game,
space.
They may only order the number of games that were pre-ordered because they don't want to have. Well, a lot of you just don't want to sell new games. You know?
Yeah,
they want to sell used games. So,
and they'll always get more in a few days. That's always how it works. So, but it's not a scarcity issue. I'd never suggest that. Mm. Not a real scarcity issue.
Right.
It's only because I know it's a way that the. It's a way that the record keeping is tallied. I know, like, we know that. They've been very honest about that. They like to look now at pre-order numbers. And if, only if it's something that I know I'm going to buy, I'm happy to pre-order. To say, yeah, I intend to spend my money on this. And if that matters at all to you, then fine. Here's my thing. Here's my vote. And I think for some things it does matter. Some things that are riding kind of a fine line between, you know, having a viable future and not, you know, and again, I know it works for different for a lot of people, a lot of different developers. It works different for them, but we've heard kind of, you know, anecdotal, honest discussion about, you know, like a company saying, yeah, we basically like get paid based on like royalty of sales.
Mm-hmm.
So the period of time between when we wrap a game and, like, when we kind of start the next project can be really arduous when we don't necessarily have any income, when the future of our game is in question because we don't know if we're going to get to move to the next project or something like that. Like, there are a lot of suggestions that that's a strange time. And pre-orders to some degree seem to factor into that. So I just want to be specific that is the example why I do it. Not one... All the others can fuck off. I can get a copy without pre-ordering ever. I don't care about special editions of anything, so I don't pre-order those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't offer real incentives like the online digital distributors do, which is, you know, a discount.
Right.
You know, if you really care about pre-orders, then and you want me to stick with it and actually follow through with the purchase, like, just give me a fucking discount. Because that's what they'll do on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
I pre-order anything on their site right now. I get like $5 off for pre-ordering. That's a good deal.
You can pre-order Torchlight.
Yep. but you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't give a shit about any of those things. So I do agree with you completely in terms of all of those reasons. No reason to do it whatsoever. But it's just kind of my effort to sort of respond to what I've read as being a reality. You know? That's all. And that I don't believe that there's any evil surrounding it necessarily. Because you can always get your money back. It will always go towards the purchase. So.
Well, you wanted other opinions.
Yes.
So, I used to have like a really strong aversion to doing pre-orders, mostly just because, you know, whatever. I used to work at software, et cetera, and I worked there like... during the time when that was becoming more and more important to them and we had to start pushing it. And being that, you know, I couldn't see a good reason for it, I grew to hate it very quickly. And, like, I, you know, was never a fan of going in and being pestered to pre-order or having their finger wagged in my face about, you need to pre-order this or you can't have it. I'd be like, fuck you, I know I can have it. May not get it from you, but I'll get it the day it comes out. And, you know, it became, you know, one of those kind of things. I was just mad about it.
And you shouldn't pre-order from those guys.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't find a boutique store or something with guys you trust, then yeah, okay, done. I mean, I'm not saying you should pre-order from shitheads.
So, I don't know. Now I'm not as mad about it anymore. But you know, I haven't been into one of those places for anything real in a long time, because I buy all my shit from Gamefly now. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had really good experience with them. Everything I've asked for that's a new title, they've sent to me, and I've only asked them for new titles for the most part. So like, they send me something, and like, yeah, I have to wait like, you know, usually a day or two, or in the case of a fucking federal holiday, like, you know,
a week,
yeah, 4 days. But, you know, if, you know, they send it to me, and on top of this normal subscription I pay, it's like, you know, $40-$45, depending on whether I have a, you know, a $5 discount saved up from, you know, I get one every 3 months. So that's a hell of a lot less than I pay if I pre-order.
Yep.
So that's big incentive for me to just, you know, get it in the mail from them and then be like, yep, I'm going to keep it. Send me the other stuff.
Yeah. That's part of the declaration that it is a bad business model.
Yeah, yeah. So, but if for some reason, you know, I were to part ways with doing business through Gamefly, I would probably, you know, pre-order if for nothing else than to get some of the, you know, the swag you get. Because I see a lot of swag now that you get when you pre-order. So I pre-ordered Champions Online mostly because of the, you know, there was the open beta access, and like, you get a special power or whatever. But of course, that didn't work out for me, so I ended up not buying it. Put the credit towards some Traeger redactors for my PS3 controller. But yeah, so right now I'm really neither here nor there, because I don't buy retail except through Gamefly. There you go.
You want an opinion? That's very close to my own. I haven't bought a game in a while.
Yeah.
And usually I don't decide to buy a game until I've played it. Like you said, I could walk into the store and pre-order Modern Warfare 2, but I'm not really doing anybody any favors. I can still pick it up in the day of the day it releases. And Activision's not really giving a shit about the pre-order numbers they're getting for that kind of game or for that game.
Yeah, so I don't have an incentive to give you an incentive to pre-order.
Yeah, it's like, you know what, I'll probably pre-order the next Mario Luigi game for the DS. I'll probably do that. Again, that's probably on the same caliber. If it's a Mario game and you're pre-ordering that, they've already made three of them. So, again, I'm probably not helping anybody by doing that. So, Mirror's Edge 2 or something like that, I probably would do a pre-order on. I don't know. I haven't bought games in a while, and I do a lot of the times. I try and do what Jeremy does. Get them from Gamefly. That gives me the chance to play them, and then I can also have that option to buy them right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really don't do that. Even though I understand the logic in it, mm-hmm. I wouldn't argue against it, but I do like to buy it retail. I mean, you know, it's sometimes it's really absurd, but a lot of times it's really legitimate to say that you're kind of voting with your dollar, and it's like, you know, I know that retail counts.
Mm-hmm.
Retail sales are what they count.
Yeah.
They don't count guys what bought the game after renting it through Gamefly. Mm-hmm. They don't count those guys. And, you know, talk to a girl at Naughty Dog. Ask her if retail sales matter. Ask her if at the end of the fucking day, what matters is some bean counter with a goddamn calculator counting fucking retail sales. Like, sometimes I feel like we talk a lot about what, like this thing, because it matters so much to us, you know? So, occasionally, I try to do something in a manner that matters to them. I'm not saying, you know, that's my dolphin safe tuna activity of the gaming world. That's me, you know, I'm going to buy it. Yes, I'm going to pay $10 more to buy it at retail. You know? And for fuck's sake, we all fucking hate GameStop. I like putting a little mud in their eye by buying a new game from them. Piss off, motherfucker. This shit's got a white sticker. Eat my asshole. Hand me my wrapped up motherfucking game.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell them that I bought it new. That's my feeling. I'm defying the man by buying brand new games at retail. Fuck all you guys with your clever notions of how cool you are buying it through Gamefly and all this other bullshit. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I do mean that legitimately. I'm obviously being stupid, but they count retail sales. Mm-hmm. If I believe in what I'm doing, and sometimes I don't. Like, sometimes I'm like, whatever, I'm just going to shoot guys in Modern Warfare. Like, I don't believe in that. But there are things I do. Some purchases are all purchases are not equal,
yeah.
If that makes any sense, you know? Like, I don't give a shit where I get Modern Warfare from. Like, we all know that's such a behemoth that it's,
you know,
the aggregate's going to be good.
I've thought about this, and, you know, maybe it's just in my head, but I imagine that, you know, putting a thing in your queue on Gamefly before it comes out is a lot like pre-ordering.
It might be.
Uses it to gauge how much they need to order.
Yeah.
So,
they
like, in a sense...
They have released numbers like that before where... Yeah. I can't remember what game it was. I thought it was on the PS3, but I can't remember. There was a game that they said... And I think maybe it was Killzone 2, actually. I think it's what it was. They said that is... Killzone 2 has the highest numbers of, you know, in-queue...
Mm-hmm. And Gamefly's going to have to buy all those... So that still contributes directly to the publisher's bottom line. So we still feel like I'm doing my part.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I.
But do they look at that?
No. I mean, I can make. Yeah, I can believe you there. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure about it. The other thing is very transparent and has been for a long time.
Right.
That thing sort of
more amorphous. Right.
And it's still. Yeah, I mean, it still probably counts as an overall purchase, but like again. The metrics that are exposed to us, mm-hmm. like, all I know is, you know, I buy retail anyway. You're like, whatever. I like tearing plastic off things. I like the smell of a new game case, you know. I like that it's mine. I like, you know, getting my game and my receipt and tearing it open and looking at the thin-ass booklet that doesn't have anything fun in it. I like that. There's still a ritual
mm-hmm.
to that whole thing that I really do appreciate. So that much you can mark down to my need to still enjoy the case and everything, regardless of the fact that I hate it when I seemingly contradict myself, but I very much enjoy the digital delivery of all of this stuff, but at the same time still appreciate the ritual of, you know, cellophane plastic and the stupid little motherfucking sticker things on the top of it, whatever, that I hate so much. I don't know. I enjoy it. There's nothing wrong with it.
All right,
voicemails?
Yeah, sort of.
Hey, what about the... I know there was a thing in there for RJ.
Well, there is, but there's also a voicemail for RJ.
That is
the same related type.
Yeah, you know. It was, and like, I would kind of...
That's fine, I just thought you were skipping over something that was kind of important.
No. There is another valid comment in there that I was going to read, but I know we're getting... Jesus Christ, it's just the clock. And we're kind of pressed for time. Ravenlock made a very good comment there about the PSP Go again.
Mm-hmm.
Unrelated to the issue we had mentioned further, but just how it's selling and where it is in the whole PSP family and kind of how it's a black sheep and that sort of thing. But it's worth taking a look at, so definitely give it a read. But you want to jump into voicemails then?
Whatever you want to do.
Okay. All right.
Why are you fucking looking at me? I'm looking at my phone.
All right, swing your mic over, RJ. It would have helped if I turned that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know what you thought you did, but you didn't move.
I didn't do a damn
anything.
Thing.
I saw a lot of big squiggly
lines.
Yeah,
that's cool, because we've never done this before. You'll have to forgive us. This is the first time we've ever done this. So, wait.
All right, our first voicemail is from Matt, who finally got around to calling us back after the first time we tried to listen to his voicemail and it didn't really work. So, here's Matt.
Hey guys, it's Matt. Sorry to hear that my last attempt at calling in was really unsuccessful and garbled, and you guys had to purge me from the episode. Makes me kind of sad, but hopefully this time it'll be a little bit better. Just finally got a good enough connection over here to download a couple of back episodes that I've missed, starting with the Death Rattle episode, so I'm listening to that now as I work. And sounds exciting. Hopefully I'll be back before Christmas, and I can't wait to get back on the show again. Glad to hear Dennis's voice again, and that's fun. Finally did pick up Scribblenauts. And I'm enjoying that a lot. Just, you know, getting some stuff off of Steam and just, you know, working. So I hope everything's going good there. And, talk to you guys later. Bye.
It's still not that great of a connection, obviously. From where he's calling.
From where he's calling, yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. Hey, you did miss one thing that I actually... His voicemail reminded me of his comment.
Oh.
In the thread. And I felt like, I mean, because I clearly have to make fun of him. For he mentions he bought Lucidity.
Right, right.
Which is the LucasArts, I cannot remember at the moment the whatever individual games group made that. It's some kind of like, we don't make shitty games anymore initiative or something. like trying to kind of reboot their efforts to make interesting things again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a, I don't know if you've really looked at the game or not, but, and I don't want to go on about it forever, but, I read some impressions of it, and it's kind of like this, sort of like this Tetris puzzler game thing that looks sort of interesting, but, and I haven't played it, so I don't know, but there seem to be a lot of people whose opinion is that this is kind of like a Frankenstein's monster. It's like, they kind of took random parts of what they think indie games are made of and sort of cobbled them together, and it, you know, walks and it talks, but it doesn't really have a soul.
Yeah.
You know, like, RPS had, whoever it was that was handling that discussion, I can't remember who it was, said, you know, he doesn't believe this is the case, but his phrase was something like, he could not help but wonder if, you know, the thought was, hey, someone make us a braid. Instead of, hey, I have this really great idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it was trying so hard to be what they perceive, or what we all perceive, an indie game to be, which is sort of ludicrous coming out of a company like LucasArts. It's like, yeah, I don't know. So it just looked like a miss. And then the gameplay just didn't really get me. And, like, you know, it's clearly impossible for me to take Matt seriously because it's a LucasArts game. There's no choice but to buy it. Of course you bought it. Of course it's beautiful, Matt. I know, man. You didn't even have to tell me that. Over there in the sand. I knew you bought it and loved it. So it's like, whatever. I would like to see for myself, but, you know, I'll probably make him let me play his copy or something. I don't know. It's just, but I did want to make specific mention of that because on the list of things that looked interesting, and then I realized, like, I think this is maybe kind of masquerading as an interesting game. But I don't know. I'll reserve final judgment, of course.
All right. Next voicemail from Steve. And I fucked up.
You have the hardest time with this voicemail shit, man.
I know, I do. I don't mind. But I love it.
Hi, in-game chat. My name is Steven, also known as Raven1223. First, I just want to thank you for the great podcast you guys put on every day, every week. It helps me get through the work week. I had a question about Natal. Would you guys feel more excited about Natal if it was just implemented in games, especially like a first-person shooter, instead of opening a door with a button, you just push your hand open a door, or if you wanted to pick up ammo, you'd just reach out and grab that ammo, pick up a new weapon, or when you walk up to a PC in there and you ask it a question, you actually talk to it yourself instead of having to just hit A for okay and then choose a dialogue. I think in a game like Mass Effect, it would be really nice to see Natal used in that way. I just want to see what you guys think. Have a good day.
Just having gotten done with Killzone 2, like, there's some things in Killzone that really come to mind that thinking about it would actually probably have been better with a Natal-like interface. There's, like, there are times when you have to, like, use the six-axis, you have to, like, hit a button so your dude grabs a wheel, mm-hmm. and then, like, turn that. The six-axis so he turns the wheel a quarter mm-hmm. of the way, yeah. and then let go of the button so he lets go. And then force him to grab it again and kind of turn it. So it's this awkward series of motions.
I remember that.
That's also how you set the C4, or not the C4, but the detonation charges. Remember, he, like, puts them up mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
And then you have to, like, turn it so he, like, turns it one way, turns it the other way, unlocks it, and pulls out
right,
the detonator.
Right, right.
Like, that, I think, assuming then it all does what we think it would have.
I tried to do that so fast in one of those sections.
But, like, I think that would work really well. Yeah. Put my arm out and just be like, beep, beep, and then pull it out. Like, yeah, there are... Which basically tells me that, yes, there are situations where I can imagine Natal working really, really well. But, and Jeremy and I talked about this kind
but
of
on the
length.
Whole, like, man, I don't want to reach out to pick up ammo or open doors. Like, I just want to, you know, button's right there under my thumb. I don't have to reach out to get it.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier and more convenient to just hit the button. And unless that thing... you know, knows exactly what I intend with my gesture every time, I would prefer to push a button.
Yeah.
You know, the first time I reach out and tell it to do something and it, like, hiccups and doesn't quite get what I intended, I'm going to pitch a fit.
Yeah.
I'm going to be pissed because I know that if I hit a button, it knows what I mean.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between a button up and a button down. It's very easy for a machine to understand.
Yeah, assuming, like, if we could assume that it works exactly the way that it's supposed to work, then there are lots of places where I think it would be neat.
But even assuming that it works every time, like, I still, you know, I got a lot of buttons just right there under my thumb. I don't necessarily want to. I don't see how...
I've never felt like I have enough buttons.
Yeah.
Personally. I've never been part of the contingent that thinks, oh, controllers have gotten too complicated. Like, I do not understand that. Like... maybe it's a PC gaming thing where it's like, I've got like 140 keys and then like seven more on my mouse. Mm-hmm. And depending on the game, I could actually use a few more, you know? Mm-hmm. So the 16 or so input variables I have on a controller really isn't enough for me. And there are plenty of games where it's like, tap this button to do this, hold this button to do something completely different. That's you telling me, yeah, there aren't enough input variables on the controller to do everything I could want to do. So then things become context sensitive, which is like, eh. So again, assuming that it works correctly, there are ways that I can imagine it.
Well, and here's the other thing, like it's buttons, you know, are very, very small gestures. Don't take a lot. They're very subtle, you know, and the reaching out and like doing a thing with your hands, big wide sweeping thing.
Yeah.
So I think, what am I trying to say? It's why I'm more excited about Sony's motion control, because I trust the tracking of a device, you know, and having buttons on it to use for those more subtle things. I trust like it's tracking the one-to-one tracking to this thing to work better for subtle movements than a couple of cameras across the room to pick up on like a subtle wrist movement.
Mm-hmm.
I want subtlety in my controls. I want to be able to do a small thing and
reliably.
Reliably. Yeah. I don't.
But again, they're like
99% isn't good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I'm not even like saying this is a solution, but like, you know, fucking. Dude, I wouldn't mind punching for the melee attack in a first-person shooter. That's not a subtle movement. It doesn't need to be subtle. Mm-hmm. It's just simply like, you know?
We kind of get to do that in Extraction.
Do what?
We kind of get to do that in Dead Space Extraction.
Yeah, we look like fucking morons.
Oh, well, we do. But we were doing it all the damn time.
That's exactly what you do, by the way. That's not an exaggeration. But, like, that, or, like, you want to talk about Mass Effect? Like, I wish there was, like, a total prick option in the dialogue box, where if I got just pissed off, like, I could just take a swing and punch whoever I'm talking to. You know? I can imagine that. That would be fairly interesting. I can see places where it would be good. But I do agree that, like, it has to be, at the minimum, as easy and reliable as a controller button, or it's no good. Unless it's more interesting than what can be done, and as reliable, it can't rise above being a gimmick.
Yeah.
So I think the fundamental thing here is, and you and I said it over and over again, I don't trust it yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust it to do what it needs to do.
For example, the Sony controller, I can see... holding it, you know, for a one-to-one mapping with, I don't know, say a gun.
Yeah.
And I think Natal could probably do that too, track your hand and put the gun up there. But like, can I, you know, move my trigger finger and shoot?
Yeah.
How does it know when the trigger's engaged?
I don't
trust it for
that.
But
the Sony controller does.
Yeah.
Because you have a button.
Because you have a button.
And I think a lot of it kind of comes down to the fact that I saw the Sony controller doing shit.
Yeah. All I saw was a promotional video with some imaginary shit, some conceptual stuff.
And there was some behind closed door stuff that where there was a little bit of video of like the guys doing the burnout and stuff like that. I mean, it's kind of there, but for the kinds of people we are, I think we inherently we have a real faith in buttons.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I don't know. I think a lot. It's purely intellectual discussion now. The thing has got to come out, and we've got to see how it works. And a year from now, we could be saying like that somebody actually did hit on the perfect function, you know, mapped to the correct gesture to actually make it kind of fun. So, I don't know, man. We will see.
Yes, all right. We will. The next one's for you, RJ.
We've already given him some preamble of this.
Let me scoop my mic over here towards the middle a little bit.
And it comes from Andrew from the MoveCast.
Hey, what's up, in-game chat people? This is Andrew from the MoveCast. I just wanted to call and comment on the most recent show. RJ, man, you disappoint me, man, in so many ways. First off, what's up with saying Tekken Tag was the last good Tekken? That was years ago, man. I mean, I know Tekken 4 wasn't the leap forward people were wanting, but Tekken 5 was phenomenal, and when it came out on PS3 as Dark Resurrection, they gave it an online patch later, and man, that's the best Tekken, like, hands down. Although I played 6 at PAX for a while, and I need more time with it and stuff, obviously, once it's out, but that looks to be another good step forward for the series. So, and the whole thing about saying it doesn't take skill to put somebody up against the wall in Tekken and just left punch them over and over and over, that, I don't know, man, I'm sorry, that I gotta question your fighting game chops now. Because that's bullshit, man. I mean, like, good Tekken players, or at least people who play Tekken, they know to stay away from the wall. You know, that's why the wall is there. The wall's bad news. You don't want to get next to it. And I've never had anybody left punch me to death up against the wall. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm just not, you know, going to the elite arcades in Japan or something, where maybe that kind of thing happens. I don't know. But anyway, man, maybe when 6 comes out, we can throw down. But the other thing, you talked about Demon Souls for a bit. And I put emphasis on talked about it for a bit. Now, what's up, man? Demon Souls, I've been playing it. I'm on the COG forum talking about how great it is and how much fun I'm having with it. There's so much you could say about that game. You talked about it for 2 minutes, and all you could say was, I died a lot, it's hard, and it's the first RPG I've played in 10 years. That's all you really had to say about it. Now, come on, man. If James can talk about fucking Dead Space Extraction for 20 minutes. There's got to be something there for you to say about Demon Souls other than that. So, I don't know. You guys got to... Somebody else has got to play that game so that you can talk about it and do it upright, because it's so brilliant. I'm thinking it might be Game of the Year for me. And yeah, I've been playing Uncharted 2 and Brutal Legend. So, but anyway, guys, I enjoy listening to the show this week. It's a good time. I look forward to hearing what everybody has to say about the other two big ones that just came out, Brutal Legend and Uncharted. So don't let me down. I expect lengthy discussion. See you guys.
RJ, respond.
First off, I'd like to say I could talk for 20 minutes about the idea of talking for 20 minutes. So clearly that can't be a dig at RJ. Like, man is to the point. I'm clearly to many separate points simultaneously, so in all fairness. Now to RJ.
What? Oh. All right, his comments about Tekken. I've seen some heinous, ugly things in Tekken 4 that he was referring to about the walls and whatnot. Don't get close to the walls.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you can't help it. Like, you're fighting in a parking garage in 4. There's walls all over the place, or this little fenced-in area at the airport, yeah, you're going to get close to a wall whether you want to or not. And the way left punch would work in Tekken 4, you could literally get hit up against the wall and get jabbed over and over again until the match is over. And I'm seeing that in videos of Tekken 6, not against the wall per se, but on the ground. You can get hit, knocked on the ground, and you can get juggled along the ground for a little bit until you're knocked out completely. And yeah, for me, Tekken Tag was the last good Tekken I played. Five, I just didn't get the same feeling of skill and the level of ability that you needed in Tag.
Anything more to say on Demon's Souls?
I'll write about that.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. We did talk about this earlier. Like, sure, just you know, like that, we like kind of, and we also talked about the fact that like RJ is clearly more likely to like write down what he feels like, and he will be able to do it a lot better than I can, because like I get all bound up and can't. I'm too scared of pissing somebody off, but. So I just fucking save all that shit for the show. I got plenty to say. RJ's doing the same thing, just the other direction. He's saving all that shit for something he's going to write down, which is actually not a bad idea. So
he'll write about that. But thanks for calling in, Andrew. Next voicemail.
Hi, guys. This is Josh. I've been listening for probably half a year. Never mind.
You can play the one where he fucking fucked up his call?
You know what? Fuck it, I forgot my question.
You gonna play that one?
We can't play that.
He called right back.
He did, and I'm gonna play that one too.
No, god damn it.
That's Josh again, the guy that just fucking forgot his question. my question was, as I was listening to you guys complain a little bit about like some awkward design choices and, you know, just games that piss you off, and I was just wondering, like, what games put the white hot rage, not just like piss you off, but just put the white hot fucking rage in you and made you do something you regretted? Like, for me, for instance, I can't play Call of Duty anything because I have snapped two controllers in half playing it. Just, you know, curious on your thoughts. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, I, dude.
Yeah, you got a kindred spirit over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Call of Duty's a fucking cheating ass mess. Like I've already said plenty of that this episode, but like, some of their shit's just backwards, dude. Like, why the fuck do dudes keep coming out of that door? What the fuck is going on there, man? This doesn't happen anymore.
It's not like a clown car.
Fuck, right? No. No, it's a goddamn bunker, and I went in there and I killed the four guys in it. Like, fuck. That's just bullshit. Like, it's bad design. I've never liked that. My number one all-time fuck-off design thing is being knocked the fuck down and then being knocked down again before I can get up from the impossibly asinine animation of being knocked down. Chain knockdowns fucking piss me off more than anything else in video gaming. I would sooner, like, you know, what the fuck? I don't know, dude. But I have really wanted to commit homicide in some games based on that. The last one that did that to me was Force Unleashed.
Yeah.
Where it was just, like, huge rooms of enemies where I'm supposed to be, like,
where they're showing
destroying
off their,
people with the power of my badassery, but instead,
right, LucasArts is showing off.
It's the power of my being knocked on my assery.
They're showing off their engine, where it's like, here's Havoc, and here's this other thing. And I've already forgotten what the damn things were called, but here's all three engines working together. And by the way, it affects you too. So if you get knocked down, you need to watch your little Havoc guy, you know, kind of limp around and do whatever.
Yeah.
Until he stops, then he can get back up.
Yeah.
So, but meanwhile, while that's going on, you can still take damage and get shot at and get killed and whatever else. So, that was...
Crackdown did that. If you got hit by a car, remember, like, your dude would go all ragdoll, and until, like, he had come to a complete stop, and, like, the last thing governing, like, some ragdoll animation had completed, then my overpowered super soldier
We'd get up and run down that fucking car, pick it up and throw it.
Oh, God. That's my thing, man. Like, that's the one that gets me worse than anything else, is being knocked down. I don't mind hard. I don't mind being killed. But I do mind control being taken away from my character. In the MMO space, there kind of is an analog to that in an MMO, and it's the stun. I don't like stuns. I do not mind losing a fight. I cannot stand having control taken away from my character. I don't like it. If I lose because I controlled him badly, that's one thing. But there are so many situations where a stun or a knockdown, be it in any kind of game, is unavoidable. Mm. And it's just... And I can literally put the controller down and it makes no difference because I'm just getting killed, you know. Or I'm backed into a wall. I think that happened to me once in Batman recently. And I got, like, I didn't... That, on the whole, that game didn't bother me. Mm-hmm. But there were a couple places where the big motherfuckers, like, that you would randomly fight every now and then.
The Titan guys?
Yeah. Like, would charge me, and I would, like, try to dodge out of the way, but things worked in such a way that I would get pinned behind their charge. That was it.
That like, happened once to me, but yeah.
Happened like three times to me.
But I was like, extra cautious after that. I was like, okay, That was
frustrating. And that's what gets me, man. Control being taken away from my character. Don't like it. If it's for cinematic purposes, that's one thing. But like, knockdowns, dude, mm-hmm. can fuck off.
What about you, Jeremy?
Oh, let's
Any
see.
Any game that's put the white hot rage in you?
It's been a long time since anything has made me that mad. I don't know. One of my pet peeves is when I die, if I get put back an absolutely punishing amount of distance, I'll quit playing a game real quick. I remember the first Ninja Gaiden. I, you know, get all the way to the last boss through one of the most punishing sets of levels. Like, it's not just like a level, you know, you go through and like get to this, and you go through all this other shit to get to this. You go through all this other shit and you get to the final boss, who has like three fucking forms, all of which are impossible. You know, we got to like the second form, you know, it killed us, ran out of lives, and we go all the way back to the beginning of that shit. It's like, fuck it.
Yeah.
No way. There is no way you could get through all that and still have enough left over to learn how to defeat the fucking three, you know, boss forms.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck it.
That's a good one, yeah.
Bionic Commando did.
Oh, yeah.
Not as bad as that, but, you know, similar sins. But it's funny. I think the only thing that I yell and scream at a lot is Mega Man, which I love, you know, because it does shit that's just absolutely unfair, but you can get past it. I can't stand shit that's unfair. But in Mega Man, I always know it's been designed in a way that if I just keep at it, I'll figure out what they intended for me to do to get through it. But there's other games that just do unfair shit, and there's no way around it other than to be lucky and survive the unfair shit, which really pisses me off.
Yeah, I don't know. You guys have been talking. I've been trying to think of mine. I keep coming up. I'm trying to figure out the last game where it was just like, okay, I'm putting this down. I'm not going to play you anymore because this is just too difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's not just difficult. I mean, difficult is okay if that's part of the design.
Yeah, exactly. That's what the more I thought about that, the more I'm like, well, see, that's not, you know, the game's designed to be difficult, or the game has, you know, a difficulty curve or whatever the case. It's not a flaw that is within the game that has pissed me off.
My most rage-inducing Mega Man moments are when you're jumping like from thing to thing over a big chasm or spikes or whatever, death beneath you. And, you know, when that little fucker gets hit, he like takes a second and like goes back just
a little bit.
And, man, there's so many times when getting hit or shot with something is death.
Yeah, whatever that noise is.
There. Oh, my God. Especially in Mega Man 1. There was a... Was it one or two, though? I think it was one. Anyway, there was a thing where there were these platforms you had to jump across, and they shot... It was one. And they shot out of the side. And the way the game treated it, like, if you landed on top of it, the moment they shot, it considered them an enemy, and you'd get hit and fall through them.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. You can't imagine the rage when I'd jump on top of one, and I would get hit and fall through it.
I can.
And, like, yeah. I think at the time, like, the first time I played it, I was in, like, fifth grade, and, oh, Jesus. I didn't understand why it was happening. I didn't have the chops to, like, figure out what in the code was making this stupid thing happen and how to avoid it. I just knew sometimes I'd land on top of a fucking platform, I'd get hit and fall through it and die.
Bullshit.
Yeah, absolute bullshit.
Anything for you?
And
RJ?
RJ's all like, why are you guys, so pissed off about what makes games great?
It sounds like a lot of
fun. Yeah, I don't know if you had white hot rage, as he said before. I mean, I remember getting very annoyed at one game, X-Men for the Sega Genesis.
I don't think I've ever seen RJ very annoyed.
Looks a lot like that.
Yeah. Anyway, there was a part in the tail end of the game where you had to go through Mojo's world, and the instructions were basically get to the end, start the computer, and then reset it. So going through the stage, you had a time limit. And if you didn't finish out before the time ran out, the whole place would, like, blow up and kill you, and you'd have to start all over again. But the thing that really pissed me off about it was when he said start the computer, all you had to do is hit this switch in the game. Now it said constantly over and over again, reset the computer. Okay, just did that. I just hit the switch. Okay, everything's done. No, you have to reset the computer. And while you're trying to figure out what to do, the time is steadily running out. So I'm hopping all over the stage, going up all over the place, trying to figure out what did I miss? Did I miss a switch? Did I not take out an enemy? Is there something I have to pick up? And after about five or six times that this happened, I finally gave in. I had to call Sega.
You called the Sega helpline?
I called Sega. And I'm like, all right, I'm at this part in X-Men. I'm like, and I gave the situation to him. He said, yes, you have to reset the computer. Well, I mean, I looked all over the place. There's nothing else to reset. No, sir, you have to hit the reset button on your console to do what the game asks you. What? Yes, sir, just hit the button on the console.
Oh, man.
That's mean.
Thank you. Click, hung with the phone.
Like, I like it when they play with that real world aspect, but when they don't tell you that this is what you have to do, or it's very vague.
Yeah.
So put some Eternal Darkness shit on your ass back in the 16-bit era.
Yeah, way back then, right? So I get to the point again, and, you know, I do everything, start the computer, and I get the message, reset the computer. And I get up out of the chair, and I walk up to the console.
Think about it for a second, don't you?
It just feels wrong, doesn't it?
I just spent all this time just to get to this point, just to hit the damn reset button. Hit the button. And instead of getting the Sega logo, you get all these binary numbers going all over the screen. And then you get a little still shot story moment, and then go in the last part of the game. I was like, good God. Someone needs to be fired for this. Yeah, but that's the closest to white hot rage I've ever gotten playing video games.
Well, thanks, cool. Thanks everybody for your calls. We appreciate those.
I get white hot rage from waking up. So need to understand, like, everybody's definition of that, or how close it is to the surface at any given point in time is different.
And Josh, I'm sorry. I tried to tell him not to include the first call, but he wouldn't listen to me. Scott's an asshole.
I'm the asshole.
You are now. Don't worry, James.
You want us to do something terrible to him? Send something specific to James at endgamechat.net or Jeremy at endgamechat.net. Keep it away from his prying eyes. You send me a message, let me know. I'll make his life difficult for you. More difficult.
And that's about it.
That's about it.
We'll save the fair talk for some other time. We'll save the Zombieland talk for another time, too. So.
Yeah.
Weak.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Okay. So, anyway, I guess that's it.
All right.
It should be it.
See you.
Goodbye.